Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network. Get driven, stay driven.
It's time. It's time to get driven. It's Totally Driven Radio with your host, Bay Ragney and Nick Wilkinson.
Myself, Bay Ragney, and my co-host, of course, Mr. Nick Wilkinson, wearing the crown. And it's not the Burger King
crown. That's right.
That's right. And you know what? As I was setting up the sound clips for the show tonight, you know, tonight is probably, it might be the biggest show. I mean, every week's getting bigger and bigger, but this show is just incredible. In-freaking-credible. And I'm excited. I'll be honest.
You're excited, but I know you're nervous.
I'm nervous as all hell. And I'm not scared to admit it. But as I was going through and set up the sound clips tonight, you know, I came across a clip that I think is fitting that we haven't played in a while. So I'm going to play this for everybody, especially if you're new to Totally Driven Radio. Let's break you in the right way. Let's get you used to this. You ready?
Totally Driven Radio. Is the best internet radio show that I have heard since the inception of the World Wide Webs.
Thank you, Adam Kramer from Liberty Vintage Cycles in Philadelphia, a.k.a. Philly Throttle. We haven't heard from Adam in a while. I wonder how him and the boys are doing down there at Liberty Vintage.
Yeah, man. We haven't heard from them in a long time.
We need to do a check-in on him and them guys. You know, we swear to the Rocky statue, and we miss Adam. You know what the funny thing is? Like, I think I'm closing in on 4 months behind on getting our interviews up on our YouTube channel, but Adam Kramer's YouTube interview is like one of our most popularly viewed ones. So it's
pretty
funny. Yeah, it really is. It's
no
BS. It's scary, but I mean. First off, that dude, he is just he's a show, whether it's radio or TV. That dude's a show. He is just pure entertainment, and he is shot out of a cannon. And I think I'm going to reach out to him and get him back on Totally Driven Radio because we miss him.
Yeah, that sounds really cool, man. You know who I was just thinking the other day we haven't checked up with in a while, too, is, you know, my favorite DJ, Megan Daniels.
Megan, she's super busy.
She's always busy.
Yeah, she's like all over the place DJing, and she went back into modeling. She's doing a lot of photo shoots again. Yeah, she's like super busy. Yeah, we should check in with her too. We had like an incredible resume of past guests, and the list keeps growing, and it grows tonight to even bigger bounds. Tonight's show, we have a person who was Playboy Playmate of the Year, star of Baywatch. She's done reality shows. She was on Celebrity Apprentice and Celebrity Apprentice All-Stars. She's a businesswoman. The one, the only, Brandi Roderick will be on Totally Driven Radio tonight. Very exciting. This is another interview I've been working on for a little while. She was supposed to be on it's been a month and a half ago, and she got tied up in travel, and she couldn't. She thought she'd be back in time to make the appearance, but she was not. So tonight's the night that Brandi Roderick
is like,
totally
this
jerk.
Is like the episode of things that you've been working on for a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, except for our new friend, which I cannot wait to talk to. This Discovery Channel, if you're listening, because I know you're listening, You need to pick up the show Heirs to the Dare, because you'd be a fool if you didn't. As Mr. T would say, I pity the fool who don't watch Heirs to the Dare, because that show was friggin' phenomenal. Even if you're not a fan of Daredevils and Evel Knievel
right.
and stuff like that, like, great. And Nick, I hope you watched it, but I have a feeling you didn't, because you have 120 other hours of TV you're trying to watch.
Hey, you know what? Realistically, only like 88.
So far this week. It's only Thursday.
So far this week, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But our guest, it's a show where they followed three daredevils in the vein of Evel Knievel. One guy is named Super Joe, and he's actually a retired daredevil who wants to get back into the game. And another one is Bubba Blackwell, who is a very successful daredevil, probably one of the most successful daredevils out on the circuit today. And the other one, which the show was mainly revolved around, was our guest tonight. And our guest is going to be the one, the only Mr. Henry Reif. And Henry is an ATV daredevil, but the thing that strikes me as, like, flabbergasting and just, like, my mouth hit the floor, like, minutes into the show was, like, he's been doing this for years. It could be, like, 20 years. We'll get the clear amount of time. But he's been
right.
doing it for, like, popcorn.
What do you mean?
Like, literal popcorn. Like,
oh, really? Like, that, like, that's his pay?
That's his pay. Popcorn. Like, the dude is risking his life and putting on an entertaining show, and his pay at the end of the day is popcorn.
Wow.
So we need to have a little talk with Henry and find out what's going on with Henry and all this new, especially a lot of fame is coming around this past week and a half since the show has aired. And Discovery Channel, if you haven't caught it, they've been airing it like crazy. They aired it again this afternoon at 3 o'clock, but I'm sure they'll be playing it some more. And they're trying to get like a gauge to see if people are interested in this. So follow Henry on Twitter, follow him on Facebook, like him on Facebook, and also there's an Heirs to the Dare Twitter page as well. Follow them and tweet to them that you want this show. So hopefully we can help them make this show a reality and see Henry and the boys on TV some more, because it's a very entertaining show. But then coming up in the first hour tonight is huge, huge, huge. Something that's my wife's been working on for, it's probably going on 3 to 4 months, easy. We're going to have two of the biggest probably child stars there ever was, who are now hugely successful in their adult lives, one being Jason Hervey, who is now a businessman. He runs an entertainment company, and he's the man behind the scenes of a lot of TV shows. One of them shows is a show on Nick called See Dad Run that his
right.
good friend and our also guest tonight, Mr. Scott Baio, is star of. And Scott Baio, if you don't know who Scott Baio is, which every female knows, just, as soon as you say Scott Baio, like when I put it up, when we got the confirmation phone call last night, and I put it out there on social media, right away a dozen girls, oh my God, I love Scott Baio. His pictures were all over my wall. I mean, instantly, that's what you get. And I
right.
expected right. nothing less. So it's going to be a jam-packed show tonight. So we got Scott Baio, Jason Hervey, Henry Reif, and Brandi Roderick. Come on now. Is that not totally
yeah,
driven
that's
entertainment?
Awesome.
It is awesome. It is friggin' awesome. And look at that. We're right at the mark. So we can take our first commercial break and come back and wait for Scott and Jason to call in, and we'll be ready to roll. So let's take that first break. You ready?
All right.
All right, let's pay some bills.
Hello. This is CrispinGlover.com, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings of top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles. For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lie. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
It's time. Time to get really, really real with the man, the brand, the artist, Philadelphia's own Realism. The first hip-hop artist to release an album exclusively on innovative USB wristbands. The future of music just got real. Visit 4realism.com, that's the number 4, and also look for Realism on Facebook and Twitter. And get really, really real, and then tell them how you feel.
Chrissy Biasello, the obnoxious personality from Season 4 of MasterChef, now has her own business called The Rotund Chef. You can hire Chrissy to be a private chef. She also does in-home cooking demonstrations one-on-one for you or for you and your friends. If that wasn't enough, she also does catering as well. You may love her or you may hate her, but you will definitely want to cook like her. The Rotund Chef. Look for The Rotund Chef on Facebook for more details. And don't forget to listen to her new show, Fork Off with Chrissy Biasello, every Monday night on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
Vendors, sell at the Phoenix FearCon, Arizona's largest independent horror event, coming up November 1st and 2nd of the year 2014. The 6th Annual Horror Film Festival and Convention is now offering early bird vendor spots, but act quickly. After April 1st, 2014, higher prices will prevail. Go to the FearCon website for more details. Oh, and by the way, corporate sponsor opportunities are also available now. So be sure to visit us at http://phoenixfearcon.com. Be there and be scared.
That's Orlando Jones of Sleepy Hollow, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Totally Driven Radio, and you gotta love it. The guests are already on the line, very prompt, very ready to go. Are you ready there, Nick?
I'm ready, buddy.
All right, let's do this. Let's welcome to the show. Is this the one, the only, Mr. Jason Hervey and Mr. Scott Baio? No, they hung up. How about that? Wow. I guess they weren't ordering a pizza like the other night, right? Somebody trying to order a pizza?
Yeah. Crazy.
Awesome.
Somebody thought they were funny.
All right, well, let's see when they call back. That's too funny.
Oh, man. This will be the last week, though, that on the other show on Sunday, we have a new theme song coming, a full length.
full length.
And I have you and Jimmy added and Frank taken out. It's the new edited 2014 theme song.
That's awesome. I'm excited. So
cool.
You actually have it. It's all ready to go.
It's not all ready to go. I'm waiting patiently for it. It's due tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's why I said next week.
Oh, I thought you said this week.
Hopefully. Yeah, that'd be nice.
We'll see. Too funny. So, all right, well, where did our callers go? Come on now. Let's see. Let me see something here. Yeah, it had to be them. All right. So when I see the area code, I do a quick look at the area code and Google it and see where it goes to. But so were you like a big fan growing up of both Jason and Scott?
Yeah, I mean, the Wonder Years especially was like, I mean, that was my thing, you know what I mean? Like, it was, it was me, you know what I mean? The voiceover, the sort of just odd family dynamic, it was definitely one of, you know, my favorite shows, definitely.
Yeah.
The other, I don't know, man, it's tough because, like, Charles in Charge, I was a big fan of, but Happy Days was kind of before my time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, you were more of a kid of the 80s, so you
right.
would be more of that, Charles in Charge and Wonder Years era, where I was the kid of the 70s, and, yeah, I mean, I was all about Happy Days.
But my people in the house are all big fans of Bugsy Malone. That's like a children gangster musical.
Dude, one of my greatest friggin' movies of a kid was Bugsy Malone. I
really?
So wanted to drive a old pedal gangster car and shoot tie gun people. That was like a goal of mine in life.
That's funny.
Yeah, Bugsy, that's a movie like I think every kid should see, like, just to, I don't know, that was just a great movie, a fun movie.
Yeah, my family loved it.
Have you watched that recently at all?
Yeah, not recently, but I have, you know, seen the whole thing. Now, you know what's interesting, though, is that Scott Baio was a guest star on a little show that we talk about from time to time called Sam and Cat.
Yes.
And I'm one step closer, babe. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that's so funny. Miss Ariana Grande, she's closing in reach, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know how my wife would feel about that, but, you know.
Hey, we don't know how Ariana Grande would feel about that.
I just assumed she'd be for it.
Too funny. I hate trying to text and
and talk at the same time.
Yeah, multitasking is not my thing. So, yeah, you know, something too about Jason Hervey, which I realized today, and I said to my wife this morning. He was in Monster Squad. We had his old co-star on a few weeks ago, Duncan Regaert from Monster Squad.
Mm-hmm. And,
so
I mean,
kinda...
he's been in a lot of stuff, dude. Like, I think he had a small part in, like, Back to the Future and the Pee Wee Herman movie. Like, I think he even did, like, Justice League Unlimited. He did some voice work or something, maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy how, you know, all the connections, like, all the people we've interviewed, it's funny, like, how they're all starting to intertwine.
Right.
You know? And he's also, I mean, with his company, I mean, he's partners with Eric Bischoff, And if I'm not mistaken, like I'm hoping to get the answer from him, is like, do they do TNA's like TV show? Do they handle that, the production of it or something?
You know, I swear that not too long ago, it almost sounded like the guy behind the camera, you know what I mean? It sounded like him. The voice was very recognizable. So I think it's called Reaction, was the show or something, but I did read online that he's responsible for, like, the Latino World Order. It was like his idea. And that was a huge WCW mark at the time. So, like, that's, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's funny.
It's funny. Yeah. I saw pictures of him. It might have been, like, on his Twitter or something. A lot of him, like, behind-the-scenes shots of him with TNA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I didn't know if they, you know, his company was responsible for the TV show or what they do with it, or is he still involved somewhere? And I don't know.
Yeah, I think I read that he's an executive producer, or at least was at one point.
Sometimes
that company seems to change an awful lot, you know what I mean?
It's the wrestling business.
Yeah.
And here's a little nugget for you, too, about Jason. Did you know who his godfather is?
Oh, well, yeah, man, that's like wrestling lore now, you know what I mean? There's no more secrets now that the internet exists, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is true. I guess, should we tell people?
If they don't know...
They might not know. You don't know. They might not know. But if you don't know, his godfather is legendary pro wrestler Terry Funk.
Yep.
So, yeah. That's pretty cool.
I remember back, though, to, like, the Wonder Years, and he was, like, I mean, he was the brother, you know what I mean? Not just of the show, but, like, he was, everybody I knew had a brother that was just like him, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was a stereotype, but it was perfect. You know what I mean?
It's too funny. So I wonder if he was like, if he's a brother in real life, and if he was like that type of brother.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
He played the role good. I remember myself just wanting that, like, when that show was on, when I would watch it, like, whenever I'd see him or the way he would act, I just wanted to smack him. Like, he was, like, a perfect heel. He really was.
That's hilarious. No, yeah, he was. And he did it, like I said, it was very familiar, you know what I mean? Like, it felt authentic because it was like everybody I knew.
Right.
That's funny, and I think he was in the original Frankenweenie, too, which I only bring up because I just watched, you know, the 84 version of it.
See, I didn't see that one.
I saw that. You saw the new one?
I saw the one, I guess, like a year or two ago in the theaters.
About
a year ago. Yeah. So.
Cool.
But I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, because I had a great opening line for him, and there was another classic Scott Baio movie that, when I was, put it this way, that movie helped me get through puberty. And if you haven't seen this movie, Nick, search for it on Netflix or wherever possible, because it is just an iconic
classic. I don't know
what
you're talking about, but, like, now I'm interested. You know what I mean, if I've seen it or not. That's funny.
I hope you have, because I'll tell you what, I remember, I mean, I was an early teenager, and I remember seeing it for the first time at my cousin's, because we didn't have cable. We couldn't afford cable when I was a kid. And so, like, we would, like, once every few months I'd go to spend, like, a weekend at my cousin's down in South Philly, and
right.
they had cable. So I would, like, literally just sit glued to a TV for the weekend watching, like, bar movies and wrestling that I couldn't see. So, yeah. And my cousin, I'll never forget, my cousin's like, you got to see this movie. You got to see this movie. And we just, like, sat there in his room, like, for a whole weekend, because it was probably on, like, 10 times, watching it over and over and over. And it was incredible.
That's really
awesome. Good times. Good times.
Now, another thing, though, that with Herbie is I believe, and I'll have to check IMDb before I bring this up to Kim, but I believe he was cast in the TV adaptation of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say that if he didn't play Spicoli, it was like his brother or something like that, or it doesn't. I very briefly remember it, you know what I mean? I just remember that, like, Patrick Dempsey was in it, and I think Courtney Thorne-Smith was in it as well, so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what was the movie she was in?
Which one? Courtney?
Courtney Thorne-Smith. It was with Mark Harmon, Summer School.
Oh, yeah. That's, man, you're taking it back, huh?
Showing my age there, kid.
Summer School, yeah.
Yeah, she had an Oxford
don't
teacher.
Get Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, come on.
Nerds in Paradise, come on.
Nah, stop. Look, those weekends spent down at my cousin's, Revenge of the Nerds was on the playlist. I'll tell you another one that was on the playlist, Porky's.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember it was like New Year's, 1980, whatever, and every New Year's Eve, my aunt would have a big blowout New Year's party, and it would be like my whole family. It was like a block party. It was like an open house, and it was like my family and tons of their friends, and people were just walking in and out, like from off the street, and I would just sit on the couch and watch cable. Like, but I remember one year seeing Porky's, watching Porky's for the first time with my mother. Talk about embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, I was probably like 12, 13 years old maybe, and seeing Porky's with my mom. And then, let's see if anybody remembers this. There was an ice show. There was an ice show called Spice on Ice. It was figure skating, and it was all like naked girls figure skating.
Really?
Yeah. Google that one. Spice on Ice. I'll never forget it. Scarred in my memory. All right, I got to call them. They're in their office. So let me call them real quick.
All right, we're going to get them on the line.
Wrong number. Let's try this.
What's interesting is that almost all of our, I think three of our guests are, like, have a Baywatch connection.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A Baywatch night.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, this is Bay Ragney.
Hello?
From Totally Driven Radio.
Hey, Bay, how are you?
Good, how you doing? Who's this, Michael?
Good. Hey, yes, this is Michael. I'm trying to get Jason. Actually, can I call you on a different line?
Yeah, you can just, when they're ready,
okay,
you just have them call into the 718 number.
Okay, so I should be calling you in the next 5 minutes, hopefully. I'm, like, literally on hold. With him, hoping to get him here in the next 5 minutes. And once I do, I will call him in.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. All right. You know what? Remind me next time to put people in the call screening room so I'm not, like, broadcasting the stuff over the air. How about that, huh?
Yeah, maybe. That's funny. But, yeah, I was saying that, like, if you count the fact that Bayo was in, you know, Charles in Charge with Edgar, all of our guests have a Baywatch connection pretty much. That's pretty interesting. That's, yeah.
Yeah, and also, I'm sure Scott knows a lot of the girls from Baywatch as well, which I think him and Pamela Anderson were an item at one time.
Did you see the pictures that came out of her recently with her short hair and all that?
No.
No?
I guess
she cut it real, real short, dude, like, you know, like boy short.
Dude, she used to really do it for me back in the day. But in the last decade, she don't do it for me no more.
Well, the fact that she's completely, like, wrapped around that dude from, that's, like, he's, like, the pimp from Girls Gone Wild, like, that's a real, like, you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't anybody that was more of a scumbag to date. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
Didn't she just get remarried again to some guy that she was already married to or something?
Him. Yeah, yeah, I think it's the same guy. Rick Solomon from Girls Gone Wild?
No, he's not from Girls Gone Wild.
Let me see. I'm going to look it up while you're doing this. That's funny because I think he was the dude that was, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
Rick Solomon.
She remarried her ex-husband, Rick Solomon. I don't know. She's a piece of work. Dude, I'll tell you what. I'm reading our girl Bobby Brown from XYZ Rock, the Cherry Pie Girl.
Yeah.
Her book, Dirty Rocker Boys, I'm like three-quarters of the way through it. And I just got through the section of basically Pam stealing Tommy from her. And I guess after about 2 years of Tommy and Pam being married, Pamela filed for divorce. And as she filed for divorce, he was trying to get back with Bobby. And her and Bobby hung out for a couple days. Him and Bobby, I should say. They were hanging out for a couple days. And then she hears, like, on the news that they're back together, and she didn't hear from them no more. She hadn't talked to him since. And then, and then, you know, like a year later or whatever, they got divorced finally. Or she saw him on the news getting arrested for beating up Pam and ended up going to jail for, you know, whatever it was, 4 or 5 months. But that whole Tommy Lee thing, like, really devastated her. Like, it turns out, like, that was, like, her big, like, crush growing up as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, as a teenager and all in Louisiana, it was like, you know, her big celebrity crush was Tommy Lee. And
crazy.
She moved to Hollywood to become a model. And next thing you know, like, after a few years, like, her and Tommy Lee are together. And then I just read this part this morning, which I was so pissed. I wish I read it friggin' 2 weeks ago, that she hooked up with John Corabi one night while Corabi was in Motley Crue, and she felt so weird because, you know, of the whole Tommy Lee connection.
That's funny, dude.
Dude, I read that this morning. I was so pissed. I was like, damn. And I was like, I would have called John right now and, like, re-ask him this question now. But, all right, let's try this again. Let's see. Let's see if this is them.
No, I don't think so.
No, you don't think so? Who's this? Is this Michael again?
Oh, yeah. Is this Bay?
This is Bay. How you doing?
Hey, Bay. I have Jason Hervey for you.
Jason, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. Welcome to Totally Driven Radio.
Thanks. So can you give me a lowdown of how the format works? And are we live? Are we live to tape? How are we doing this?
We are live right now.
Okay. So, like, just live on the radio.
We're live and we're throwing you to the wolves.
Cool. Wouldn't be the first time.
As a matter of fact, and here's how I wanted to start it out. I got a bone to pick with you, my friend, and I'm going to tell you how this is, and it's probably going to make you laugh. I used to want to, like, punch you so bad. You used to infuriate me, and you know why? Because you crushed my heart when you were dating Missy Hyatt.
Boy, I'm sorry to have put you through that. I'm actually a fairly, you know, kind-hearted and sensitive person. If I would have known that I was hurting you that bad, I just would have given her to you.
I'm sure you would have after all that. That's too funny. As a matter of fact, as time went on in life, I ended up going into the world of professional wrestling and, ended up knowing Missy and becoming friends with Missy, but not as good friends as you guys.
Well, that's all way, way, way far in the past, so what do you want to talk about?
So, it's kind of weird, like, you went from this child actor to now, like, this major entertainment guru businessman.
Man, I don't know. I mean, that sounds really good. I don't know about all that, but I'm hard at work as a creator and producer with my longtime friend and colleague and business partner Eric Bischoff in our company Bischoff Hervey Entertainment. We have a variety of different projects. Everything from the scripted space to our online gaming company internationally, as well as our television production company, which primarily focuses on reality television, everything from a Nick Carter docu-soap, Celeb Reality on VH1, to a pretty hard-hitting, show, The Devil's Ride on Discovery Channel, which we just had our finale a week or two ago.
Now, is that the show? Which one is that? Is that the Hell's Angels one?
That show is a show that takes place in San Diego, and it focuses on the rivalry, the drama, the war, the conflict between two clubs, the Laughing Devils and Sinister Mob Syndicate, and on season three, on this season, unfortunately, they have caught the attention of a much bigger, much more powerful MC, and one of the largest, most legendary, 1% outlaw motorcycle clubs in the world, tells those guys that, you know what, you got 30 days to knock this off, and we don't care if you merge, we don't care if you kill each other, it doesn't matter how you settle this, in 30 days there will only be one red and gray club left standing, and if you guys can't get the job done, we're going to do it for you, and both of you guys are going to go away. And, in the end, the Laughing Devils ended up dropping all their cuts because they decided that they didn't really want to, they wanted to go back to the brotherhood and the camaraderie, and they really didn't, they weren't passionate about living that 1% outlaw, lifestyle. They wanted to go back to, like I said, the brotherhood and, doing charity events and all kinds of stuff that those guys did, even before the show started.
Right.
The hard-hitting, tough guys over in Sinister Mob Syndicate, led by the extremely charismatic, cool, talented, and tough Rock'em, Ralph Randolph, who's the president of Sin Mob, Those guys were, you know, they were up for the task, and they took Fuzzy up on the offer, who was the guy from that legendary Outlaw Motorcycle Club who laid down the ultimatum, and they took him up on the offer. So Sin Mob stood tall in the end, and that's how we closed out season three with plenty of possibility in the future.
Now, how did you? I mean, are you? You're not a. Do you ride at all? A bike at all? Or
yeah, I got this badass Schwinn.
Nice. Like, I mean, how does something like that come to be? Like, does somebody propose this idea to you? Or
I've been riding motorcycles since I was 12, you know, I've had a Harley since I was 17. You know, Bischoff's had a Harley. You know, we've ridden all over the place, and you know, motorcycles have been a serious passion, you know, and hobby and all that good stuff forever, especially growing up in Southern California, and you know, the friends I have in Cali, and you know, we're always out on the bikes, you know, riding, and you know, the I'm surprised you didn't see Kurt Sutter than my Twitter war. We've kissed and made up, and all the Sons of Anarchy fans and all the Devil's Ride fans, they're all playing nicely with each other, and we got nothing but respect for Kurt and all the talented people on his show in front of the camera and behind the camera. But yeah, we got in this crazy Twitter war because he was questioning the authenticity of it. But again, you know, we all have a tremendous amount of passion and respect for it, and you know, I've been riding pretty much my whole life. So, as reality television producers, you know, our job is constantly be on the lookout for unique subcultures that you know really haven't been, you know, they haven't had a lot of light shed on them. You know what I mean? The only other show really that's out there, you know, is Sons of Anarchy. And then of course, you know, you have your documentary on, you know, History Channel and Bio Channel and all that stuff. But you know, The Devil's Ride was, and you know, the first reality docu-soap television series set, you know, in the motorcycle club world. You know, we've made some mistakes. You know, we've hit the ball out of the park a few times, you know, but it's an evolving, you know, process, but we always come at it, you know, as eager, hungry students, you know, who realize we have a lot to learn, but we have a tremendous amount of respect, for the motorcycle lifestyle and culture and bikers, and, you know, that's, it's very much a part of our lives. So if you know us, you know, on a personal level, you actually wouldn't be surprised that we came up with a show like that.
Now, being the you were, you know, a child actor growing up and being an actor, and now being the man behind the camera that's developing TV shows and all that, and a lot of reality shows, what is your true feeling, the actor Jason Hervey, not the businessman Jason Hervey, what does the actor Jason Hervey feel about reality TV?
I enjoy it. I don't look at it, you know, and maybe it's a little different because I'm not, you know, once an actor, always an actor, and it's, you know, it's a part of who I am and then my blood and all that stuff. But maybe it's because I'm not currently pursuing my acting career that, you know, I don't have such a strong position on it. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit kind of biased what I'm about to say, but, you know, it doesn't bother me. You know, I enjoy reality television, and not just the shows that I make. You know, I have lots of friends that, you know, make them, you know, my friends, my competitors, all that, and, you know, we all support each other, and I'm a fan of it. I think it's entertaining. I think it's, you know, it's over the top. I think there's a few gems, you know, that are out there and deliver, you know, on the heart, you know, which is great. And I don't think it's the big deal the way it used to be. Like, oh, my God, reality television, it's putting actors out of business. Oh, my God. Because what you got to keep remembering is, you know, it seems like every day there's a new network that comes out, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's more television networks than ever. And, you know, there are and those networks are opening up more nights of additional programming because networks don't, you know, program, you know, Monday through Sunday 24 hours a day with original shows. You know, they don't do that. It's, you know, some original shows and then a bunch of reruns. Some original shows and then, you know, a bunch of reruns. You know, or libraries from, you know, content, you know, from other shows. I mean, and that's how you build a network. So they are always opening up, you know, additional nights of programming, you know, new time slots, and especially with the proliferation of digital, and you have you know, guys like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Xbox. I mean, my gosh, I mean, those are, you know, those are places that you go to pitch content now. So
yeah.
You know, not only are networks making, you know, television, you know, you have Netflix and Hulu and all those places that I named. So there's more opportunity for actors than there has ever been. So, you know, and honestly, and I think a lot of that, you know, also has to do with reality TV pushes a lot of that, you know, because, you know, it just kind of, you know, equals out the playing field. When there's more reality, then the scripted people feel like, you know, they have to bolster up, you know, their scripted effort. So, you know, there is a, not to get too, you know, lofty and esoteric here, but, you know, there certainly is a balance of an ecosystem, you know, between reality and scripted, and they really all, you know, drive each other. And then, like I said, there's more distribution outlets than there's ever been, and it's not slowing down, which, again, creates more opportunity for actors. So, you know,
yeah, actually, I mean, it is making a lot of good TV on both sides of the fence. And actually, my co-host, he is like a TV nut. This guy watches 120 hours a week of TV, and I'm trying to figure out how he does it.
Man, boy, does he have any, like, do you have any, like, bad habits? Is he single? Is he what's going on in his life,
I
man?
Think his bad habit might be TV.
It is. That's what it is.
It might be.
I mean,
I think you got it. You're right.
You know, one
well, you know,
Dr.
Phil, his soundstage is right up from ours in C-Dad Run here at Paramount. I could see the soundstage from here. Maybe I could see if Phil can swing by the guy's house.
No, I don't see it as a problem. It's just television. It's my passion. I enjoy watching it. I enjoy reading about it. I enjoy the way it's put together, the way stories are structured. I enjoy the way you can emotionally connect with a character, and then when you lose them and the show is canceled, it's like you lost a friend. I love it.
What's your give me like your top five like favorite 1 hour dramas.
Oh,
top
good
five. Now see, I have a specific...
and it could just be of recent history. It doesn't have to be like of all time and all that stuff.
Okay, top
but just
five.
give me the shows you're watching right now. Like what are you jacked about?
The originals on the CW. Chicago PD,
okay.
Once Upon a Time, Sons of Anarchy, of course, and Rectify on the Sundance Channel.
Right on. Those are good. Those are good shows. Let me ask you a question. Were you, this will tell me everything I need to know about you. Were you bummed, excited, or didn't care when Magic City got canceled?
If it would have been canceled during the end of the first season, in between season one and two, I would have been bummed, but I was sort of ambivalent about it at the end.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did it jump the shark for you?
When the wife in Cuba was killed.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Got it. I love that show. I think that show is fantastic. I was bummed when it went off the air, but I love like right now, very excited for Game of Thrones to come back. Love the show, Shameless, digging
absolutely.
The show, Orange New Black. The there's another. Oh, I actually really like House of Lies. I think that's a fun show.
Absolutely, rocking
True
Detective.
True Detective. True Detective was just freaking amazing. You know,
you watch Banshee on Cinemax.
It's loaded into my DVR. I haven't gotten into that one yet, but I want to.
It's excellent. I actually have sort of my subgenre specialty, if you'll say what it is. It's kind of embarrassing, but it's teen angst. Anything that I grew up with or modern that involves, you know, just teenagers and overinflated storylines and stuff like that, that's my sort of go-to. Their drama lets me escape from my drama.
Wow. So were you
big
Beverly Hills 90210 fan?
90210, Melrose Place, Degrassi, Vampire Diaries, doesn't matter. One Tree Hill, favorite show of all time.
Love it. Hey, guys, I could, maybe we'll do this again, but they're calling me back in here for rehearsals. So I got to go.
Okay.
Do you have
any final questions
or whatever?
Actually, could you just cut a quick ID for me? This is Jason Hervey. You're listening to Totally Driven Radio, and we'll let you go, and hopefully we can get you back.
Yeah. I'm happy to come back. All right. Tell me, you want to count me down?
3, 2, 1.
Hey, this is Jason Hervey, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Awesome. Thanks, Jason. And, let's do this again.
That works for you?
We have a lot more questions to ask you. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, man. So we'll get it on the books again. We'll do it again, okay?
Cool. Thanks, man.
This was fun. I appreciate it.
Cool. Take care, man. Good
right,
luck.
Guys.
And we know you're busy, so go ahead.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
Bye.
There he is, everybody. Jason Hervey.
You see what I'm saying, dude? That's what I love about TV right there. In the middle of a conversation, he got so excited he wanted to talk about some of the shows that he's watching. Like, that sums it up for me. You know what I mean?
And, dude, I was sitting here, like, 3/4 of these shows, I have no idea what they are. Like, I wanted to interject and say, like, do you watch Mob Wives? Do you watch Counting Cars? How about Bar Rescue? Like... My realm of TV, my realm of TV is so far off the spectrum from you guys. It really is. Like, I must be like, I don't know. Does nobody else watch my shows?
That's funny.
Wow. Actually, we got a call here. Let's see who this is. This number looks familiar. Let's see. You're live on Totally Driven Radio. Who's this?
Hi, I'm Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. I thought this number looked familiar. I can only imagine what you wanted to say. So tell us
hey,
what you wanted to
what
say.
What the hell happened in Scott Mayo, Bay?
I have no idea.
Well,
they were supposed to call in at
8:15. I'm going to tweet him about it. Oh, wait, I can't because he blocked me.
Yeah.
You want to know why?
Yes, absolutely.
You have to hear this, Nick. You have to hear this. You ready?
Right,
go ahead.
All right. So basically what had happened was I was tweeting. Me and Dorian were tweeting celebrities and harassing them all day long, and I said, ooh, Scott Baio. So I tweeted him one tweet, just one tweet, and he blocked me. All I wrote was, at Scott Baio. Can Charles be in charge of my vagina? And with that, I got immediately blocked. And I don't understand.
Well, you know what? I'm proud of you. I've also been blocked by a celebrity, so I feel the pride that you must have.
I got blocked by 8 Yeah, we've been blocked by MC Hammer,
Star Jones,
Soulja Boy. Warren Sapp blocked me because I asked him if he would take a punt into my end zone. Yeah, Warren Sapp, QB killer. If you're listening, Warren Sapp, I'm really upset about that. Hugh Douglas, he blocked us after he realized that he tried to pick Dorian up at a Coors Light event and show her his camel hair rugs. And she was like, I don't want to see any part of your rug, sir. And then we tweeted him about it, and he blocked us.
Oh,
man, that's hilarious. Now, I've been blocked
by
DJ.
Why didn't you ask Fred Savage's older brother if he ever finger-banged Whitney Cooper?
Oh, my God.
Now, when you get blocked by somebody, how do you know you're blocked? Does you try to tweet them and it says you're blocked?
Yeah. It says the user blocks you.
Wow.
You know what? I should actually get you a screenshot of all the celebrities that have blocked me. And sent
Jay Will got me kicked off Facebook.
Oh, yeah, Jay Will from Jersey Shore got Dorian. She got kicked off of Facebook for like 30 days because she tagged. You know that blue waffle? Do you know what blue waffle is?
No.
Oh, my God. All right. Just do yourself a favor and do it after the show because you might throw up. Google blue waffle. That is the picture that Dorian tagged J-Wow in from Jersey Shore. And J-Wow blocked her and got her kicked, recorded her, and got her kicked off Facebook.
She blocked me on Facebook, Instagram,
Twitter. Yeah, she was like, who is this Dorian girl? I want to murder her.
Alrighty.
Definitely look it up after the show.
Oh, you're killing me. Now, like, I'm very curious now. I'm going to do it.
That's funny.
I'm going to do it. Hold on.
What are you doing?
Oh, my God, they're Googling blue waffle.
Oh.
I know what it means. Ben is Googling it.
Oh, it's a disease?
I said, this is your thing on J-Well. This is your thing on J-Well. No.
Yeah. Did you see the picture?
What in heaven's name? Oh, my God, I'm going to throw off. Oh, my God, I'm going
to
throw off.
I tried to warn you not to Google it. You didn't listen.
I told you.
I'm scarred.
After the show.
I'm freaking scarred for whatever you do. Anybody, do not Google that picture. Lord have mercy. Oh.
You're welcome.
Oh. So Monday night, what can we expect on Fork Off?
All right. So with that, we're going to let you go. We enjoyed the interview.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. See you. Wow. I'm going to vomit.
I tried to warn you.
Oh, my God. I'm sick to my stomach.
That's
wow.
Funny. Now, I don't know about those guys, but I take it as a badge of honor when a celebrity blocks you, man.
You know, it's funny. Last night, I start getting followed on Twitter by Paul Stanley's Foot. And I looked at this, and I just started laughing. And I said to myself, I bet you this is my buddy Bert, right?
Right.
Look, I'm gagging. About 10 minutes later, I get an email. Well, I couldn't take it no more. I've jumped onto the world of Twitter, and I'm Paul Stanley's Foot, and I just lost it. I'm like, I friggin' knew it was you. And he emails me today. He's like, dude, I'm like tweeting to Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons all day, but my tweets aren't showing up. Why can't I see them on their page? I'm like, I don't know. And then he's like, Did I get blocked? Did they block me? Is that why I can't see it? I said, I don't know. I've never been blocked by somebody. It's almost like
that's
now it's
funny.
Like, I guess that becomes like your badge of honor is if you've been blocked on Twitter by somebody.
Yeah, man, I've been blocked by Dean Cain and Kevin Smith, buddy.
Kevin Smith.
That's why you'll notice that in the TV Nation theme song, we take a shot at Dean Cain in it.
Oh, I know your love of Dean Cain. Believe me.
Yes, I can't stand him. And Kevin Smith, honestly, it was I thought it was a legitimate question, and he blocked me without even answering it.
That dude's uptight. So, for somebody who's supposed to be funny, he's an uptight dude.
Absolutely, 100%. And to be honest with you, like, I'm starting to think that he's a scam artist. Like, do you know that he was charging people to attend this thing where he would tell them how to be successful at podcasting? Okay? Like, how to be successful at podcasting when you're Kevin Smith is to already have a million fans who watch your movie.
Yeah.
But what the
exactly.
hell does he know about, you know, building a fan base?
But,
and I
right,
asked him that, and he blocked me.
Let's take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we'll be talking to Henry.
Sounds good.
All right.
This is Adam Kramer from Philly Throttle, Liberty Vintage, Philadelphia, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend or someone special this Halloween? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to teddyscares.com. And be sure to become our friends at facebook.com/teddyscares.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
It's time to feel the chill in the air, not just outside, but inside as well at the Springfield Ice Skating Rink. We offer lessons, ice rentals, parties, and we are also available for fundraisers. We're also open for public skating every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sundays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. That's the Springfield Ice Skating Rink, 400 West Sproul Road in Springfield, PA in Delaware County. Go to SpringfieldIceRink.com for more details.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at TrashCity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at TrashCity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Are you looking for a unique gift for any occasion? Check out Crystal Rocks Jewelry and More. At Crystal Rocks, that's Crystal with a K and R-O-X, you'll find we have jewelry for everyone and every occasion. We also have wine charms, bottle toppers, bookmarkers, zipper pulls, and more. One of our specialties is our beautiful Swarovski Crystal Awareness and Sports Jewelry. We have created a line of earrings, bracelets, and keychains for any awareness cause and any major league or college team, such as the Eagles, Flyers, Phillies, and Penn State. Want something customized? Crystal Rocks can do that too. So come check us out at www.crystalrocks.com. That's Crystal with a K and R-O-X.
To see more updated items, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/crystalrocksjewelry. That's KrystalRoxJewelry.
This is Big Ed Beckley, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio. Turn it up and rip the knob off. All right, everybody, welcome back to Totally Driven Radio. I'm like all out of breath running around. Commercial breaks.
You're a busy guy, man. Like, I don't know what it's like to be Bay Ragney, but I can't imagine that you ever struggled losing weight because you're constantly on the move.
Dude, you know what? I was thinking that same exact thing. Like, this afternoon, like, I work two real jobs. And, like, I spend half a day doing the one job, and then I spend the other half a day doing the other job. And they're both in the car business. So I am, like, always moving. But then I'm always in front of a computer as well. But I was, like, running around this afternoon like crazy. And I was even saying to myself, like, how is it I can't lose weight? Because I am running around like a jackass. I'm out of breath. I'm moving. I'm hustling. I'm sweating. And I gain weight standing still.
And like you're not really, like, a fast food kind of guy either, right?
You know what? Today I was because...
Today you were, right.
Today I was because I had, like, no time and was running around. And, dude, you know what? I ate McDonald's today for the first time in probably 6 months. And I felt so sick afterwards. I was like, why did I do this to myself? Like, I was so pissed off afterwards and just blah. Just the feeling of blah.
I understand it completely, man. I haven't had any beef at all since Valentine's Day. And even though I haven't lost a significant amount of weight, I can't explain to you how much lighter I feel. Like, just
really?
My core in general just feels less bloated, lighter, just all in all healthier.
And you know, all I kept saying to myself in my head was, friggin' Frank is laughing. So on that note, it's time to bring to the world and Totally Driven Radio a man that the world got to know last week thanks to the Discovery Channel, and now the world of Totally Driven Radio gets to know him. Let's welcome the one, the only, the pit bull himself, Mr. Henry Reif to Totally Driven Radio. Welcome to Totally Driven Radio, Henry.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Just getting over the last week and a half of activity for that TV show. Wow.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Very exciting. A lot of fun.
I've been a lifelong fan of Evel Knievel. Going back to probably, I was born in 70, so I'm going to say probably around 73 I got to know him. I mean, I remember watching Wide World of Sports as a little kid each week and seeing the Snake River Canyon jump and all that as a little kid. So all through my life, I've been fascinated not only with Evel Knievel, then you carry on the tradition with Robbie, and then as the world of the internet comes around, I like sit and I'll watch old videos and I'll Google Daredevil. So I've known you've been on my radar for years. So,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But as I think to myself, like, all right, Henry's a daredevil. Henry, I thought this was, like, your job. Like, this was how you're making a living. And I was flabbergasted when I was sitting and watching this show the other night, which I finally got to watch over the weekend. And I couldn't believe it. After I watched it, I said, that's it. I'm reaching. That's when I sent you an email to come on the show. So how many years have you been an actual daredevil?
Well, I've been jumping since, this is my 40th year jumping bicycles, started out with bicycles and then, went to motorcycles and then 88, 89, something like whatever the hell that is, I start jumping the four-wheelers, and I've been doing that ever since, but, you know, it's not been a constant job to pay the bills, as you've probably seen on the TV show. I mean, you can't believe everything you see on TV, but it's pretty close.
Wow. Yeah, like, I just couldn't believe it. And the thing that, like, boggled my mind was, like, you're putting your life on the line every time you're getting on that bike and doing a jump. And the way I related to it was, like, I used to be a professional wrestler. And as I started getting older,
ECW.
And then ECW, as I started getting older and got married and started having children, and I would think to myself, like, do I want to go and get in a ring and risk getting hurt because I have my regular job during the week where I make my real money? And I started slowly backing away because I didn't want to get hurt. And then it finally just got, like, to the point, like, it's not worth it to me anymore. So, like, now you have a normal everyday job, correct?
Yep. I drive a semi. I just got home about 45 minutes ago. I've been out on the road since about 5:30 this morning.
Wow. Like, don't you get scared you're going to, like, get hurt and possibly lose your job that pays your bills?
You know, the people I work for, they back me 100%, and they're, you know, I've known them ever since I've been a little kid, and they understand. And, you know, I've never missed a day. I've broken legs, I've broken arms, I've broken ribs, collarbone, nose, fingers, toes, dislocated knee surgeries, broken the hip. I've never missed a day of work due to injury. I've limped and hobbled and never missed a day.
Wow. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty impressive.
Well, you know, I mean, being a daredevil isn't for everybody. And if you're going to choose to do this profession, then, you know, just like you know with professional wrestling, I mean, there's risks out there, and you make an educated guess. I mean, for just the person that's never been on a four-wheeler before, it would be suicide to do some of the stuff we do, and that's why they don't do it. If they're smart, I've practiced for years. I know what I'm doing. I'd like to think that I have it down by now, and if I don't, then I should probably retire. But, I joked years ago that I didn't want to be 40 years old and still jumping a four-wheeler. And
right.
In May, I'm going to be 46, and I'm still jumping. And, you know, I've noticed, I think it's mainly the patience thing with getting older. I'm getting better.
Now, that actually, you know, brings up an interesting question that I had, and that was, when you do what you do, and I heard you just say that you practice and you study and you know what you're doing, and, you know, you've looked at it from different angles. So, you know, how does a guy like you, what do you think of this, like, surgence of, like, internet stupidity and internet daredevils where people are just going on out and filming themselves doing dumb things and getting hurt? Does that sort of, does that affect the industry as a whole?
Yeah, I don't think it affects, you know, the stunt world. I mean, the thing I worry about is a kid, you know, thinking it's a joke.
Sure.
And as you guys know, I mean, you know, especially a professional wrestling background, you know, professional wrestling isn't a straight-up competition, but there's still so much wear and tear on your body. I mean, guys break their necks all the time, right?
And, sure, absolutely.
And they get hurt, and, you know, some have died. I mean, you know, these kids watch this stuff on TV, and they think it's a joke, and it's not a joke. I assure you it's not a joke. A couple years ago, I crashed in Fort Wayne, Indiana, indoors, so I hit the concrete, and it, you know, it pissed me off, and I got up, and I walked away, and I walked up the landing ramp and give the ramp Gap a bird, and I grabbed the microphone, and I said, if they'll have me back next year, I'll come back and I'll jump this thing and I'll do it right. And I walked down the ramp, and the guy walked up to me and just grabbed me, and, oh, man, that was great. And I, you know, I hollered out and pain. I had a broke collarbone, and I had a broke hip. And I just, he looked at me and goes, wow, you really hurt. I said, what'd you expect? That, you know, 80, 75 mile an hour on a four-wheeler, and you bust your ass on the pavement. Does it get any more real than that? I mean, you know, guys wrecking a NASCAR, and they got roll bars and, yeah, you know, seat belts and all that. I don't have that stuff. That shit hurts.
Now, when you go, like, do you go back and watch your crashes, like, on video? Do you, like,
absolutely.
Do you watch that? What do you think to yourself when you're seeing the crashes?
Well, even, you know, even the ones I make. I mean, I've been jumping for a long time. I probably, if I'd have to guess, it's over 100,000 jumps I've had. And,
wow.
You know, it's like anything. I mean, I am my own worst critic. And I try and critique everything I can. You know, I watch everything. I study it over and over and over. And, you know, I do it ad nauseum. You know, my wife, she puts up with it, but, you know, I just sit there for hours and just, you know, slow motion, forwards, backwards, just trying to figure out what I did wrong, what I did right, and, you know, it just never stops. And I think anybody, I don't care if you're a painter or you're a martial artist or, you know, just working at your job, if you're going to be good at anything, then you better be very well versed in what you're doing. You got to have a lot of practice in. You better know your job. If you don't know your job, especially like in stunts, then you're not going to have a long career. And I've been around here a long time, and I think probably as long as this show takes off, I think I got at least 5 more years in me.
You know what? You probably have a lot more than that.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I have a lot of fun. This is a ball. You know, I have a ball doing this stuff. I get to meet a lot of great people, and, you know, in a lot of cases I get to help out some kids that, you know, they need that, you know, I do charity jumps, and, you know, I like to help out kids. I love kids, and I got 5 of my own. And
oh, really?
Yeah, I have one son that's mine, and then my wife has 4 kids, and we don't get into the step kid thing. They're all my kids, and they're a great bunch of kids, and you know, I love kids, man. I like doing stuff with them and for them, and, you know, if I can help, you know, like charities that I'm aware of, you know, if my services are needed to do something like that, I'm more than happy to do it.
Now, how do they feel about you jumping?
They're so saturated with it. It's just, you know, it's my youngest is actually mine, and he's dealt with it the longest. He jokes because his, you know, his friends come around me, and I'm got the leather outfit on, you know, and they're sitting there looking at me like, holy shit, what's going on? And he just, it's no big deal to him, you know, it's just, that's
right.
And these kids are, wow, man, it must be cool to have a superhero for a dad. And he's like, I could give a shit less. But he, you know, he takes it pretty cool. I mean, he's kind of possessive. If there's a kid to get around and what, too many autographs and pictures and stuff, he starts, dad, it's time to go. He's a lot of fun.
Now, one of the things, going back to the whole money situation that struck to me was, the impression I got was that it's almost like when it comes to, like, money, like, you don't want to even accept the pay. Like, you don't feel right taking the money because you do honestly love doing it so much.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. It's I want to be paid for it, and I think I have a skill set that once it breaks out, and I think it's about to break out, I'm getting quite a few offers just from the pilot. And, you know, I have a life, and I'm risking my life, and I think I should be paid for it. Do I need to be a prima donna and make, you know, what some people say, $1,000 a foot? Yeah, no, I don't need that, but I love doing it. I love performing. I love watching everybody's reaction, you know, to a stunt that I pull off. Now, I've had some, like, bike rallies. I went and performed at some bike rallies, and you get these big, tough bikers, and, you know, I'm dressed up like Evel Knievel, and I come walking out, and they're kind of chuckling around, hey, Evel, you know, joking around and that, and then I climb on my four-wheeler, and I do my show, and they're always standing there with a beer, dude. That's some of the coolest shit I ever seen. I didn't think a four-wheeler would fly that far. So, yeah, it's cool to win over a crowd like that. That's part of it. But, you know, like a pro wrestler or a mixed martial artist or a painter or anything, this is my art. This is what I do. This is the thing I've devoted my life to. And if I get a little bit of recognition out of it, that's great. I don't need millions of dollars, but, you know, if that comes, I'm not going to complain.
Sure. Now, speaking of the Evel Knievel leathers, it seems like where I would think, or maybe it was for a time, like a lot of you guys didn't wear Evel's colors, or you wore like your own different patterns. It seems like now more and more you guys are wearing Evel Knievel's traditional red, white, and blue.
As far as I know, I am the only jumper out there, other than Evel and Robbie, that I have pretty much the family's blessing, because I did know Evel. I wasn't best friends with him or anything, but he flew me to Vegas. I hung out with him for a day and a half, and, you know, people warned me about, you know, going around and said, oh, this guy's kind of a badass, and he's probably going to disappoint you. And, you know, Evel has a reputation. I mean, his nickname is Evel, and it's for a good reason. So
sure.
They were worried that he was going to, you know, if Evel Knievel would have been bad to me, it would have broke my heart. You know, I mean, you told me you loved him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I, to be honest with you, I worship the ground the guy walked on. And I went out there, and the guy couldn't have been any nicer to me. I mean, and even his wife looked at me and said, who the hell are you? Because Bob is not normally like this. And, you know, then I met Robbie later on that night, and the same thing with Robbie. He couldn't have been any nicer to me. And people just kept saying, you know, this is unusual. And I've maintained a contact. I'm not going to say we're buddies or anything with Rob, but, you know, just the other day, Robbie sent me a text message on my phone. He said, I watched the show. He said, you're the star of that show. He said, screw egos. He said, dude, you were fantastic. And he said, I appreciate you keeping the family's name alive and wearing the collars. So,
yeah,
yeah, it's very flattering. I mean, you know, the best explanation I can give you is I did a parade a few years ago, and a kid walked up to me and he said, are you Robbie Knievel? I said, no, I'm not Robbie Knievel. And he said, well, why are you wearing your outfit then? I said, well, and his mom grabbed him and he said, because Evel Knievel is his teacher, and it's kind of a homage to his teacher. And, you know, she got it, and that's probably
mm-hmm.
the best explanation, you know, like the old Kung Fu movies, you know, got to show some respect to your teacher, and that's why I do that. You know, I've had people give me hell about doing, well, you shouldn't wear Evel's leathers. Well, Evel knew I did, Robbie knows I do, and they're both cool with it. And, you know, Robbie was so cool with it that he watched me jump a couple years ago, and he walked over and gave me a necklace. And, I, you know, when I jump, I wear it. And he was tickled that he seen it on TV. So, the family has kind of embraced me, and they've treated me really good. I mean, I kind of keep my distance, I don't want to be a leech or anything, but yeah, they're great. They're great.
Nice. Now,
well, how many people can say, but Babe Ruth, if you play baseball, Babe Ruth called you up and flew you somewhere and hung out with you and appreciates the fact that you play baseball like them. That's cool.
Come on, yeah. I mean, I'm with you. Like, Evel Knievel, to this day, he's probably one of, the biggest idols I've had in my life. And I still, when I'm trying to do things, for Totally Driven, when I think of a business stance and all, I think back to the things like how Evel used to conduct himself in his early days when he was trying to, book, Caesar's Palace, and the way he would say, he would, try to portray himself and make himself bigger than life, and, the main event, and this is, you got to make yourself sellable that these people want you. And I
absolutely
think of that all the time,
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I mean, you got to fake it till you make it. But unfortunately, in my line of work, if you fake it too much, you end up dead. So you better be good at what you're doing.
Now, actually, I met Robbie back in the late 80s at a car show, and I got to see him jump. It's probably about 7-8 years ago. But when I met him years ago, there was nobody talking to him. It was just me. And I was talking his ear off. And one of the questions I remember asking him was, I said to him, I said, what goes through your head when you crash and then you have to jump again? And because, you're trying to make a living at this. And his answer was, I get back on that motorcycle real quick when I have to go report to the construction site on Monday, and I say, oh, hell no, I'm getting back on that bike.
All right. Well, I'll narrow it down for you. I got invited to did you see my bit I did on the Letterman show?
I saw it on YouTube. I didn't see when it actually happened.
Well, I did Letterman, and I practiced that. They asked me if I could jump, X amount of taxi cabs, and I said, yeah, and they wanted to see if I could do it before they, brought me to New York. And so I did it in the parking lot for them and went out and broke my arm. And I didn't tell them about the broken arm, but I did it. And I showed them the video, and they said, yep, book it. So I had 3 weeks. So I babied that arm for 3 weeks, didn't mess around with it, shifted my semi with my elbow instead of my hand because I couldn't move my hand. And it was my throttle hand. So I did that and went there, showed up for Letterman, and did a practice run and broke it again. So then what do? The biggest jump of your life, and you're in practice, and they were getting ready to pull the plug on it because I destroyed my first four-wheeler. And, I took a Craftsman wrench, and I taped it to my arm, and I went and got a four-wheeler out that I just bought, never rode before. And I turned around and did that practice jump with a broken arm and a four-wheeler that was untested. And then I stopped, and I sit there and stared at this ramps for 8 hours. And right before, I didn't move. I didn't change clothes. I sit there and stared at this ramps all day. And as it got to be time for the show, Jamie Foxx was doing two shows that day. It was on Monday, and my show was the Friday show, and his show was the Monday show. And he got out of a vehicle, to walk into the studio, and he's looking at the ramps, and he shook my hand. And he looked at me funny. He goes, hey, man, can I ask you something? I said, yeah. He said, what the hell do you got on your arm? I said, a Craftsman wrench. And he goes, yeah, you would, wouldn't you? He said, what the hell you got a wrench on your arm for? I said, my arm's broke. And he hugged me, and he kind of laughed. He goes, man, what is it with you white boys and these stunts? He goes, I'm going to watch it. he's a very cool guy. And, and I sit there and thought about what he said. And, what it is, it's the thrill of competition. I mean, you understand that.
Sure, you know, absolutely.
I'm not trying to prove that I'm better than everybody else. I'm trying to prove that I'm better than I was the last time I jumped. It's all against myself, and that's what jumping is. You know, it's, I mean, 10 people can get out and jump, and you're going to get 10 different results.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, some are going to fall off, some are going to narrowly miss it, and some are going to make it, some are going to make it look easy. But it's a personal thing, and, you know, it's against your own mortality, and I get a thrill out of it.
Now, it seems like you just mainly jump in the, like, your hometown area, or do you go around the country a lot, or...
I haven't been around the country, but, you know, I went to New York. That's really the farthest out I've went when I did Letterman. I have offers to go, but, you know, like you said about the money, you know, this stuff moving trucks and four-wheelers and personnel around, that shit's not cheap.
Sure.
And, you know, everybody... One thing I've learned in the stunt world is everybody wants something for nothing, and you've probably dealt with that with wrestling.
Sure,
but,
absolutely.
You can't, you know, I mean, you know, you got bills that got to be paid, and, you know, if you're trying to make a living out of doing this, you deserve to be paid. You mm-hmm. deserve to be paid millions of dollars when, you know, you're going to bring, you know, a couple, 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 people. No. But you deserve a piece of that, and
sure.
You know, you got to make it pay. If it don't pay, why are you doing it? So, you know, the power of the internet is why you said you've watched me for years. I've been on your radar for years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of the internet. I've stayed in Van Wert recording this stuff and putting it on YouTube. That's how Letterman found me. That's how the people for the Heirs to the Dare found me, you know. I mean, and everybody told me, oh, you'll never get anywhere doing that. Well, apparently I have. I mean, you know, the internet is a wonderful thing. I mean, as you well know, you got a radio show, and you know, it frees up a lot of things. You know, it keeps me from having to travel. I mean, a foot in Van Wert, Ohio, is the same as a foot in California or Beijing, China, right?
Absolutely.
So what I can do in Van Wert, I can do any place else. We just got to find people willing to pay it. You know, I mean, it comes with sponsors and all that, and I'm starting to get some sponsors. I can use some more, but we can always use more. You know, I mean, it's just expensive.
Right on. Yeah, right on. Now,
each one of my four-wheelers, I got them with $30,000 in. You have a bad day at work, and you total one. Guess what? You got to pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've wrapped up over the years. I've wrapped up a lot of money in this stuff, and you know, I don't really see the point in, you know, hollering about, oh, I'm the most expensive daredevil out there. Look, I want to be, and the people with the show kind of laughed about it, but it's true. I'm the hardest working guy in the daredevil business. I bust my ass, I do a good job, I put out a good show, and I will not leave until everybody has a picture that wants one. I will not leave until everybody's got an autograph that wants one. And one thing I've made a personal vow to myself, I'll never charge anybody a dime for my autograph. If you want an autograph from me, you'll get it.
Hmm. Now, how about Bubba? Does Bubba charge for autographs?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep. I, you know, everybody has got their own personality and got their way of doing things. And, you know, I mean, we don't necessarily see eye to eye, but that's okay. I don't hold it against him, and whatever. His line of business is different from my business model. You know, I think I make a decent wage at a jump, and you know, if I sell some T-shirts and sell some posters, then I should sit my ass there and and sign it for all the nice people and take a picture with them. And, you know, I don't have anything I'd rather be doing, so I'll stay there. And I don't care if there's 90,000 people there. I'll stay there till everybody's got an autograph.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of felt that, like, you weren't actually, like, too big of a fan of a Bubba's. That's the impression I got from the show.
Well, you know what? I've known Bubba for almost 16 years now, and the more that I know, the less of a fan I am. We'll just say that. You know, he's, I keep bringing up the wrestling to give you an idea of, you know, where I'm coming from. Have you ever had, and I know you have, you've been around wrestlers that believe their own hype a little too much?
Well, totally.
There you go. There you go. I mean, you know, every Daredevil's got a huge ego, and I believe that an ego is useful. I believe that some bravado is useful, but it's useful when it's time to jump. But when it's not time to jump, you're sitting around, I'm just Henry Rife, regular guy, truck driver, father, husband. I'm just a normal guy. And not everybody falls into that. But, you know, that's okay. I mean, I'm not the ego governor of the world. So, you know, I mean, it's free country. He can do what he wants.
Now, you said they found you on YouTube when they started putting this show together.
Yep.
Where you... You had to have been, like, shocked when this whole thing was started coming about.
You know what? I'll tell you the truth. I haven't been shocked about any of it. I told my mom 22, 23 years ago all this was going to happen. She laughs and says it's happening exactly how you said it would. And I said all this. I said sooner or later I'm going to find a market, you know, I'm going to find a outlet where somebody's going to want to focus in on what I do, and they're going to appreciate me. And until then, I'm going to practice my craft at, you know, being a daredevil and hopefully not get killed in the process. And, you know, I've jumped over 100,000 times and had really only, I don't know, 6 or 7 crashes and probably only 4 major ones. So, yeah, that's a pretty good ratio. That's better than driving a car out on the street, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you said you started jumping actual two-wheel motorcycles. Why did you switch over to four-wheel?
Well, you know, back in the mid, you know, the late 70s and the mid-80s is when I started jumping dirt bikes. And I learned early on at that time, you know, Evil was still around, and, you know, he just quit jumping in the early 80s, so he was still fresh in everybody's mind.
Sure.
And Robbie was coming out, and, you know, if your last name at that time, you know, this is before all the X Games and everything, if your last name was a Knievel, you weren't going to do anything, you know, as far as jumping a motorcycle. I mean, you know, it wouldn't make any difference if I wore all black and jumped, you know, whatever. It didn't make any difference what kind of motorcycle. You would still get compared to Evil and Robbie Knievel. So then the four-wheelers came out in, you know, the mid-80s, and I started fooling around with them. And, you know, I was on one probably 5 minutes, and I started hitting little hills with it, and I thought, hey, this damn thing can fly. And so I started making the hills bigger and, you know, just had to brainstorm that. I'm going to make a ramp and I'm going to start jumping cars. And I, you know, everybody told me not to. And as you can see, I didn't listen.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're kind of hard-headed with some things.
Well, that's where the Pitbull nickname comes in. You know, I mean, I'm not a real tall dude. I'm about 5'8". I was always a star athlete in high school, but I was always, you know, when I graduated, I only weighed 138 pounds. And, but I still, you know, was a star football player. I was a running back, if you can believe that. And I was an outside linebacker. and now I was a star wrestler. And, you know, I just always had a drive to compete, real ferocious competitor. And it also didn't hurt anything that my older brother is about 5.5 years older than me. When I was 138 pounds, he was 340 pounds, and he had a bit of an attitude. So he beat the hell out of me all the time, and it kind of toughened me up. He's pretty ruthless on me, but, you know, that's all right.
You mentioned the X Games, and that was one of my questions, actually. Like, what was your feelings about, like, the X Games and the Nitro Circus and stuff like that, those type of daredevils?
The X Game riders, that type, you know, like freestyle, motocross, and whether it's dirt bikes or snowmobiles, or now they're getting into flipping cars and trucks and, you know, whatever. Those guys are great athletes. I mean, I sit in awe of Travis Pastrana. That guy is the man.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that appreciates this kind of shit knows he is as daredevil as they get, you know. So I have a tremendous amount of respect for anybody that gets out there and freestyle motocrosses and all that. I think they're great. But what I do and what Bubba does and, you know, Joe Reed and some of these traditional Evel Knievel-style jumpers do, it's a little bit different. It's not doing tricks. It's a smaller ramp with not near the apex, you know, the arc is not near as high, but we're trying to jump out as far as we can. So it's a little bit different than what's going on today where they have taller ramps, a lot steeper, and they throw themselves up in the air and give a lot of hang time so they can do the tricks. But you know, it doesn't take anything away from their balls or their brilliance at what they do. I mean, that's what they do. That's the end thing for this generation, and I totally get it. And I hope before I retire, I hope that I can teach myself how to backflip because I want to do it.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I'm going to do it. I promise that I'm going to leave the ramp and I'm going to get the quad to start flipping over. How it ends up, but hell, I don't know, but we'll give it a shot.
Now, how about we had Ed Beckley on.
Love Ed Beckley. He's a great guy.
Yeah. What are your feelings about Ed? And I guess Super Joe wants to do it as well. They're both trying to jump the Snake River Canyon.
I think Ed is Ed's not bullshitting anybody. He's damn serious about it. And if you're listening, Ed, love you, buddy, because Ed had a crash the other day, and he got pinned up pretty good. So, I hope he has a speedy recovery, but he still says he's going to get it done. I think Twin Falls, Idaho, is trying to put the kibosh on that. Now, you know, what the hell is the problem? I mean, this is a historic thing. It's the 40th anniversary. He wants to do it on the actual launch pad that Evel had. I mean, come on, man. Can you get any cooler? I don't think so. He paid almost $1 million for the land rights, and now they're trying to squash that? Really? I don't get it. I mean, there's all these biker gangs that come in, and oh, bullshit. It's just somebody that's crap. They need to let Ed get it done, do it. I want to watch him do it and make it. And, you know, he's invited me to come out. I want to go watch it. Bob Truax's son, Scott, I know him. He is the Bob Truax was the guy that actually designed the original rocket. And Scott is designing another version of the X2, and he's got his own pilot that's going to do it, stunt guy, Eddie Braun, I think is his name. Since Twin Falls wouldn't give, you know, they're playing with the land rights, I think they're moving like a mile down the river, and they're going to do it in another county, and there's nothing Twin Falls can do about it. So that's pretty clever, and I wish Scott and any of the other luck in the world, and I'll go watch that too. But as far as Super Joe jumping it, I don't think he's going to get it done. But I have an idea for Super Joe.
Uh-oh.
There's always the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Super Joe. He did some cool stunts in the late 70s and in the 80s and even in the early 90s. And he's not getting any younger. And I would love for the guy to be able to get to do something that he has his heart set on doing. I don't think it's going to happen. But me and Super Joe, we don't necessarily see eye to eye, but I got to say, he's fun to watch on TV, and, he's been very classy about most of the show and his dealing with me, and he's got a great family, and, I wish no ill to him. I mean, I think some other jumpers could take a lesson or two from him.
It seems like there's, with all you daredevils, I guess, is there a little animosity between each of you, maybe?
Well, I have no animosity towards anybody. I mean, I think that comes with my personality. I'm a pretty secure person. I don't feel insecure about that stuff. And I go out of my way and try and help people. If they come up with, I have this idea for a stunt, what do you think? And if they want my input, I'll give it to them. If they need my help, I'll try and help them if it's within my power. There's guys out there, and we shall leave them nameless, Bubba, but they have this old school Showtime mentality that, nobody is allowed to get over but them. And I think he even says in the show that, the spotlight shines on just one. That's not true. I think if you're good at what you do, it doesn't make any difference what you do. If you're good at it, people will notice. And it doesn't make any difference if there's three or four of you out there. If you're good at what you do, they're going to notice you. And so I'm not threatened by anybody.
Yeah, now, with the show, was there like a lot? Did you guys film a lot of footage that wasn't used, like that would be ready to roll for future episodes, or would you have to start filming all over again?
Well, probably a little bit of both. I mean, we filmed for a whole year.
Okay.
There's tons of stuff. Yeah, there's tons of stuff that didn't make it on there. Heirs to the Dares, really right now a pilot, and it's going to be based on whether or not people take an interest in it, whether it'll get picked up or not.
Sure.
Available on iTunes. I think the last airing was today, but now that's the only way you can see it is iTunes, unless they add some dates. They might. It's on Amazon and Google, all these different avenues you can watch it. But they told me that if we had around 600,000 viewers for the initial show, that we stood a good chance of probably, getting picked up. At least some serious talks would be involved. And for the initial airing, the premiere, we got just a fuzz under 800,000. And they didn't advertise it at all. So I think that was pretty good, don't you? I mean, did you watch the show?
I'll tell you what. I didn't know nothing about the show until that original Monday night. We were actually doing a radio show. I got done doing the show, and as I was going through Twitter, I started getting followed by the Heirs to the Dare Twitter. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I'm seeing the red, white, and blue, like evil. I'm like, what the frick is this? And I open it up, I'm like, TV show, and then it was saying it aired Monday night. I'm like, ah, shit, I missed it. Like, so then I'm Googling it, and then I found the thing, and I saw the trailer for it. I'm like, oh, man. So then I kept, like, setting my DVR to tape it, like, three or four times throughout the week, and it wouldn't record for some reason. So I ended up finally just buying it on iTunes and watching it over the weekend.
What did you think?
I loved it. Loved it. I watched it over the weekend, and I watched it again this morning.
Consensus with everybody.
I thought it was great. I mean, I thought it was a very well-done show. And even if somebody doesn't enjoy, you know, the whole Daredevil thing or that whole Evel Knievel, like, Daredevil jumping, they would enjoy that show. It was an entertaining show overall, showing, you know, the behind-the-scenes and the interactions of you guys and, you know, the cross between your real life and the Daredevil life. And I got to admit, one of my favorite scenes of the whole thing was you and your mom going back and forth over who's better, Elvis or Evel Knievel.
Well, we both know that Evel Knievel's better.
Oh, absolutely. Come on.
you know, the funny story about that is my mom, my mom is really a quiet, humble, very shy person. And
I wouldn't have thought that.
You know, she's just a doll. And you guys really got to see exactly what my mom's like because she didn't know we were filming. She was really nervous about it. She'd wring her hands about it and, you know, oh, I hope I don't mess this up and I hope I don't look stupid. And she's just really worried about it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, Mom. I said, sit down here. I said, we're going to practice. And, you know, the camera guys were setting up and, you know, the director was back there and he was watching all this going on. And I said, so I started walking her through it, you know, what we're going to do. And then we start talking. I said, this is what's going to happen. We start talking, and the director is motioning for his camera guys to roll. And so we sit and talk for 35 minutes, and they shot it all. And I was slamming my hand down on the table and said, guess what? You're movie star, Mom. What? I said, yeah, you're done. What? What are you talking about? That was really, I mean, you talk about reality TV, that was really how my mom makes, and I couldn't have
awesome.
A better one. Yeah, my mom makes Carol Brady look like nothing.
Oh, that's great. That is great. But, I mean, that scene alone, I mean, it made the whole show. Because
no, she's wrong about Elvis being better than Evel Knievel, but other than that, she did a great job.
I was showing that to my wife this morning. Even my wife was hysterical. But
everybody loves my mom, and that's great.
It is. Even my co-host Nick, I was telling him, I'm like, you just got to see it because it's an entertaining show.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. I mean, we worked a year on it, and this thing has taken a lot of very strange twists and turns. You know, I mean, it started out as more of a focus on the behind the scenes stuff, you know, in the stunt world, and you know, just kind of the payoff at the end of the show was going to be one stunt, and they did some focus groups, and they said they wanted more stunts, and then they wanted more stunts, and they wanted more background and more technical. So a lot of the stuff that was shot that was like a little produced. Kind of quirky, funny, a lot of humor. And honestly, I didn't really see it myself. I kind of agreed that I wanted, you know, if that was me watching the show, I would want more stunts. You know, if you're going to watch a stunt show, give me some stunts. It's like watching a stripper. I mean, sooner or later, you got to show me the tits, you know? I mean, but you know, the truth is, you know, they found a good blend with everything, and they had to recut that thing 8 different times. And cut number 7 was so good, they told me they were going to cut it again. I was mad. I thought, oh, man, they're gonna screw this up. And I was really upset. And then they said, well, we got the final version. Do you want to see it? I said, yeah. They sent it to me. I sit there and watch it. My mouth was hanging open because they outdid themselves. I mean, Mike Riley is the producer, and he's done a lot of stuff for MTV. And, that guy's smart. He's got a great sense of humor. He writes a lot of this stuff. And Jason Beauregard is the director slash cameraman, and these guys just sit there and just toiled over this thing. I mean, you know, they hit me up. I'm doing a show, right? And, you know, I hit the jump, and Jason would walk up to me, hey, I want to try a different camera angle. Could you do it again? So I did one show. I jumped probably, I don't know, 20 times. And,
wow.
And, you know, the scene where you see me at the drive-in swinging around the corner and all the stones flying everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I bet we shot that thing 15, 18 times. He wanted to get it just right. And, you know, I was happy to do it. I mean, that was the point of it. I'm there to work. And,
right.
You know, that's kind of my thing with some other people involved in the show, and I won't get into who they are, Bubba, but you got to understand that, you know, when you sit there and say, you guys better have 17 cameras because I'm jumping this one time, that's the wrong attitude. I mean, I want to be a damn action figure, so if it requires me jumping 50 times, I'm going to jump 50 times. You know, I want to be a household word like Evel Knievel, and if it requires me slinging a bunch of stones around 30, 40 times, count me in. I'll do it. And,
well, actually,
you know, I'm not going to play that. I mean, whatever they want, they'll get from me.
Well, we got a caller for you, Henry, and they said something about Santa Claus, that you would know the joke.
Santa Claus. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. All right, they're laughing. Santa Claus, you're live on the air.
Yo, Henry, it's the big red guy.
Ah, where's my bike, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, but you know I love you just the same.
Yeah, well, all I've been getting is lumps of coal. I mean, I'm still, you know, ever since I've been a little kid, I've been waiting on that Evel Knievel bike, and I've never got one yet.
Well, I'm working on that one. I have an inside track on that now, so I'm working on it. But I want to know, what is your ultimate dream jump?
Ultimate dream jump. My ultimate dream jump would be to probably jump a bunch of buses or semis at a casino in Las Vegas. I mean, or maybe do like a mock-up of the original Caesar's Palace layout. I'd probably do that. You can't jump Caesar's Palace the way it is now. There's too much stuff in the way, but I mean, we could definitely recreate it, and I would do that, but I'd do it on a four-wheeler. I think that'd be cool. Would you guys want to see that?
I'd love it.
That, some buses, some trucks, some buses and trucks. I don't know. I mean, I think I still got a lot left to do. I really don't feel like I got a lot to prove, but you know, I'm competitive with myself, so I'm actually in negotiations with the same place that Bubba jumped a helicopter. They want to see me jump a helicopter with no landing ramp. And I told them I'd do it if they'd pay what I wanted.
How about, since we talked about earlier with Big Ed and Super Joe wanting to jump Snake River Canyon, any crazy idea like that in your head that you want to jump a canyon?
You know, I said this before. If I was standing there and the rocket was ready to go and there was somebody holding a check for $6 million, going to write it out to me, I would get in that thing and I'd probably do it. But to sit there and plan it and say I'm going to do it for a whole year or 2 years or however long Ed's been talking about doing this, I just don't think that I would want something like that. I mean, you know, I'm not in a position right now, so I can't honestly tell you if I'd do it or not, but I mean, yeah, you know, it's not high on my list. I mean, look at that thing. Evel Knievel had balls like an elephant. And, you know, Ed and Eddie Braun, you know, there's guys that are wanting to do that. I say more power to them. You know, I really don't have a big interest in it. But, you know, if somebody's listening to this and they got $6 or $10 million they want to throw my way, we'll probably put a rocket-powered moped together and give her a shot.
Wow. Only $6 million, people. Ante up. Come on.
That's a deal at any price.
There you go. So what do you have coming up in the near future?
My first jump of the year so far, I'm starting to get phone calls because of the show just coming out. I'm going to jump at Angola Motor Speedway in Angola, Indiana.
Okay.
I'm going to jump, I think, a bunch of pickups. I'm going to do that, and then we're trying to negotiate this Black Diamond Harley-Davidson thing. That's where Bubba jumped the helicopters. I'm either going to jump the helicopter, or I'm going to jump a big bunch of Harleys. I mean, that's something that people are getting into. I show up at, like, a biker rally, and they line their bikes up. You know, they got all the neon on. Now, lately, they've been staying on the bikes, and as I hit the ramp and fly over it, they all rev the bikes up and that, and people get off on it. So I'm starting to do more and more bike rallies. And, you know, I mean, it's an easy, quick, cool-looking stunt, and, you know, I don't know. I'm pretty much up for anything.
Nice. Well,
I've got some offers to jump in Texas and Louisiana, and I got my agent looking at that stuff. But, you know, I haven't jumped in Philly yet, so you guys need to get me out there.
Absolutely. And then we'll go get some cheesesteaks afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely.
and as, you know, me and your boy Tom, we've been talking a lot the past few days. And as I said to him and he said to me, now's the time for you to strike, man. With this TV show, your number's hot right now, so you got to strike and get it while you can.
Well, I'm definitely trying to do that to win some of the other people on the show over to my thinking. You know, I mean, I'm not going to name names, but, you know, Bubba needs to sort this out. You know, I mean, it's got to stop being about being ego-driven, and it's got to be about, you know, having something sustainable that all of us can, you know, look, I want to walk into Kmart and see my action figure standing there. You know,
right.
I want to see kids wearing my T-shirts and stuff like that. I mean, Evil did that for me. And, you know, I like the fact that, you know, some of the stuff I do is inspiring to people. And you never know, man. Maybe one day you even see, like, a movie about me or something. You never know.
How about that? And then I can hang
there's definitely
going
to be a book in the works.
I can hang Viva La Henry poster next to my Viva Knievel poster in my office.
There you go.
Nice.
Viva La Pitbull.
Viva La Pitbull. Well, Henry, this has been a lot of fun. This has been a great honor to talk to you. We got to do this again. We're friends now. We'll keep in touch. And
absolutely. I'm flattered, dude. I mean, it means the world to me.
Yeah, man, seriously, this has been a lot of fun. I've been really looking forward to this. I was so excited when you got back to me so quick. I was like, yeah, this is going to be awesome.
Well, I hope I didn't disappoint.
No, not at all. Not at all. Hey, can you, real quick before I let you go, though, can you cut a quick ID for me? Just, you know, whatever you want to say. This is Henry the Pitbull, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Okay, you ready?
Say whatever you want to say. You know, sparkle it up if you want.
Sparkle it up. All right. Okay, ready? 3, 2. Hey, everybody, this is ATV Daredevil Henry, the Pitbull Rife, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Cool.
How's
very
that?
Good. Perfect.
Not bad
right,
for
Henry?
A guy who rides a motorcycle, huh?
How about that? All right, Henry, well, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch, and hopefully we get to hang out soon.
Looking forward to it, man. It's
yeah,
a pleasure.
Man. And no crashes. Stay safe
yeah,
out there.
No crashes. That's too hard on my old ass. Thanks, man.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, see
there
you.
There he goes, everybody. Henry the Pitbull, the ATV Daredevil. And if the show is still airing on Discovery Channel, he said today might have been the last airing of it. You can go on iTunes, get it, Google Play or wherever. Check it out. Heirs to the Dare. And if you're an Evel Knievel fan, you'll love it. I loved it. You'll love it. So, all right. Well, Nick, our next guest is lined up and ready to roll. Nick's on hold. How'd that happen? Nick, you there?
Hey, yeah, all right. Let me ask you a quick question here, buddy.
Okay.
He said that he was. They were talking to him about doing a ATV or a four-wheeler jump over a helicopter without a landing ramp.
That right? sounds painful. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that just falling?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, I was confused because that seems to me like just flying up in the air and then falling down. That's not really jumping anything.
It's like, well, it's just hoping you made enough distance to clear those blades.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you
can fall however you want. Yeah. I don't know. But it's weird because the dude Super Joe, they showed like a home movie type thing of him from like, I think it was the early 80s, and he jumped three helicopters out in a field with no landing ramp.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird. But,
All right.
So Brandy's ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's do this. Let's welcome to Totally Driven Radio, finally, Miss Brandy Roderick. How you doing, Brandy?
Hi, I'm good. I'm so glad to finally be talking with you.
Yeah.
We've been trying to make this work for a while, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Well, this has been like the night of trying to make things work, and everything's working so far, so we're doing good.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, you guys, I was listening a little bit real quickly to the guy that was just on. Was he related to Evel Knievel?
No, he was a guy who grew up loving Evel Knievel, and now he's like an Evel Knievel daredevil jumping four-wheel motorcycles. And they just aired on Discovery Channel last week a show that featured him and two other daredevils.
Oh, crazy.
Here's even crazier. Like, he's been doing this for 22 years, technically, professionally, but really not getting paid for it.
Yeah, so he loves it. That's good. I mean, he's doing it because he loves it, and now he's finally, hopefully, getting paid for it, something he loves.
Exactly. Great. Yeah. But I was just flabbergasted. I couldn't believe, like, this guy's putting his life on the line, and he's not even collecting a paycheck out of it. He's getting popcorn. He was getting popcorn. I don't like popcorn
that much.
You
really love
your
job.
Right. Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, I'm sure most people know you, like, either from your Playboy days or the Baywatch days. And I really didn't get to know you until Celebrity Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I am a
huge fan of that show. I love that show.
Oh, good. I do, too. It's a great show. It's exciting.
It is. Like, I just can't stop watching when that's on. I love when it's on. And it's got to be the celebrity one. Like, I don't care about the everyday people one. But because the celebrity one, you really get to see a side of you guys that you wouldn't normally see.
Right. Yeah, definitely, because you have people that, I mean, obviously it's unscripted, so you have that aspect of it where a lot of the celebrities are actors, so you're seeing them more in scripted scenarios. So you have that aspect as well as the fact that you're working 16 to 18-hour days, six days a week. So you're not getting much sleep. So you have these people that are totally sleep deprived and irritable. And so there's all these crazy things that happen from that. And they just put you in these strenuous situations. So, yeah, it's definitely other sides.
And the one thing, like, it shows where people, you know, naturally, like a celebrity, people are going to put you guys on a pedestal and think, you know, you're a lot better than us normal people. But you watch a show like that, and you can see that, A, you guys are just normal people, and you see the B,
well,
the bickering.
Well, some of us. Some of us are normal. But anyway, go on.
Are we talking about Gary Busey?
Well, we could be talking about a lot of them. There's been a lot of seasons, so But anyway, continue, please.
But you
yeah,
see,
so we're normal.
You see a normal side of you guys, but you also see a side that's a smart side, like a side where you guys are actually showing your creative side and your smarts and your thinking and stuff that you wouldn't expect. A lot of out of the box things for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of the draw to it is seeing what the producers are going to come up with for us to do and how we handle it. And it's always interesting to see how the celebrities handle each thing. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, definitely. And mm-hmm. I mean, when you're working alongside, like, a Gary Busey or a Dennis Rodman, I mean, how what's going through your head?
Well, it's a little nerve-wracking when maybe they're the leaders, but it's so hard to say. It's just, you know, Dennis is he's a very creative person, believe it or not, and I'm sure you saw a lot of that actually in the show.
Sure.
He can be very creative. And same thing with Gary Busey. Gary Busey can be very creative. The only thing is sometimes that creativity kind of goes off into its own world sometimes, you know, gets a little crazy, but thinking outside the box is good sometimes, but sometimes it's just so far outside the box that it makes it a little bit more distracting. So it's a benefit as well as a distraction. I mean, it goes both ways.
When you see Dennis Rodman going to North Korea, do you just shake your head like, what's he thinking?
I don't think he's really thinking. I think he goes with the flow and he's looks at it as a job and he goes to do his job and he comes home. I don't think he's really thinking of it as, you know, the way he should be thinking about it. I think he's just looking at it like, you know, it's a job. And he goes and does his job.
Now, and how about like Donald Trump? I mean, it's got to be almost kind of, I guess, intimidating. That whole aspect of being around the Donald and trying to, you know, impress him, the businessman that Donald
is.
Well,
I mean, going into the boardroom, you're sweating, like no matter what. I mean, yeah, there's a ton of lights on you, but he does have a tendency to make you sweat when you're in that boardroom. He's very intense. He does that stare down, that glare. Then, of course, he asks you those horrible questions. Who's the weakest link, you know? And nobody wants to answer that unless you're a complete bitch. Can I say that? Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely, yes. You can say whatever you want.
Okay. Because, like, a normal, nice person isn't going to want to answer that question, so you're just sweating bullets because you know the question's going to come. It's intimidating in that boardroom, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I watch that show, and I get stressed out. When it comes to that boardroom, I sit there, like, and I get stressed out for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very stressful, and you're in there for, like, 2 hours. It's crazy. Even though they only show up for, like, 20 minutes, you're actually in there for, like, 2 hours.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, so. So they're drilling you the whole time.
Now, on the celebrity one, the All-Star one, when Bret Michaels was eliminated, did he really cry?
I think he did. I mean, I didn't see him cry, but I heard that he did. He was very emotional about it. And, he took it very seriously.
Wow.
Yeah. he's a singer. He's an artist. So, you know, he's going to be an emotional person. So, I guess it came out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
I was just like, wow. I guess he figured since he was coming off the win, he was going to win it again.
Yeah, I think so. Otherwise, I don't think he would have volunteered to, play the game again. He would have just been a judge like the others.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, you have those high hopes, and once they're crushed, you know, I could imagine, you know, he's an emotional person already, so...
Now, you're like, which people probably don't know, you're a businesswoman yourself, outside of the Celebrity Apprentice world.
Yes.
Now,
yeah, I love it. That's what I do day to day. So, I mean, I love the business world. I love working. I love doing that stuff.
Now, how did you make the jump from being, you know, actress over to that business type person? I mean, you're involved in a bunch of different things. I mean, you have like a gaming website and a shoe company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's something I've always been into business. I actually went to school, and when I was going to school, I graduated a year early so I can get out and go to college, and then I got my real estate license, and I've always I just like to work a lot. I've always pursued outside things other than acting, and once I was in the acting world, I started up a production company where I was producing films and television and reality shows.
Oh.
I still produce reality shows. And then, yeah, businesses like the shoe company, Pantofola d'Oro. We have a great Italian shoe line. It's actually really amazing. Adam Levine actually designed one of our shoe lines, and Jenny Hilfiger designed our women's line, and it's an awesome shoe. And then I'm working with an alkaline water company called Alkaline 88, and I just I love being in the business world, and it's really rewarding for me.
Now, what's the alkaline water? What is that?
Mm-hmm. It's alkaline water. It's an 8.8 pH, and it's the best water you could be putting in your body. Do you know anything about being alkaline or anything about alkalinity?
No.
Well, you're going to hear more and more about it. It's finally, doctors are telling people with cancer that they need their bodies to become more alkaline because cancer cannot live in an alkaline environment. So the first thing you could do and the easiest thing you could do is drink alkaline water, as well as eating alkaline foods, which would be like watermelon, lemon, spinach. There's all kinds of great, wonderful alkaline foods, whereas things like coffee and red meat and things like that are acidic. So that's on the other side of the spectrum. So you want your body to be more alkaline. And the easiest way to do that is by drinking alkaline water.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and you can buy it anywhere. I mean, we have it in all stores, depending on where you live. Where are you guys at? Where are you located?
I'm outside of Philly.
Yeah, I don't know the grocery stores there. Albertsons, Stater Brothers, do you guys have those? Any of those? Winn-Dixie, Jewel, Walgreens.
We got Walgreens.
I know all the stores are a little different, but if you don't find it in yours, you can get it on Amazon.com. It's called Alkaline 88. It's alkaline water.
See, that amazes me. This whole Amazon.com. We had somebody, who was it, Nick? It was Tony Luke. You can get his frozen
mm-hmm.
cheese sticks on Amazon. Like, I didn't realize Amazon is involved in water and food now.
It's just I know. They do everything. And it's the easiest way to get it to people if you're trying to get it out to all the stores and you can't get it in every single store where everybody lives. So it's just an easy way. Plus it's free shipping, the Prime free shipping. So it makes it easy.
See, you got to get like your own Amazon. That would be the perfect business model.
No, it's already been done. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Okay.
You don't want to copy somebody. You want to invent something new.
So you got to make it better. You got to take it a step further. I don't know how much further you can go.
Yeah, as long as you're changing it, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. You'd have to change it somehow.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you also wrote a book too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And
you can get that on Amazon too.
Of course.
As well as your bookstores, Barnes & Noble and Borders or whatnot. But,
so do you have like your own section on Amazon? Do they sell your shoes on Amazon as well?
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
See?
But the shoes you get on pedioitalia.com if you don't find them in your stores. We have them in lots of boutique stores, some of the Nordstrom, things like that, but there's pedioitalia.com is the easiest. But the book is called Bounce, Don't Break, Brandy's Guide to Life, Love, and Success. And, you should pick it up and read it. It's great for guys and girls.
well, you're like having all of that. So, I mean, you must be doing something right.
Well, I've been in this business a long time. I've made a lot of mistakes. I definitely would not say that it's been easy, but I've learned from my mistakes, and I'm sure I'm going to make a lot more mistakes. But in the book, you know, I kind of try to tell people about those mistakes to help people not make the same mistakes, and let them know what did work for me. And, yeah, it's part memoir, part advice, the book.
Very cool. Now, did you ever picture yourself writing a book?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I'd been wanting to write a book for a very long time.
Planned in your future?
Yeah, I'm actually in the middle of doing a book right now. It's about living an alkaline lifestyle and alkaline water and teaching people about the importance of water. And what it does for you and why you need it and why you need good water. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. And I'm sure that'll be available on Amazon.com too.
I'm sure it will.
Now, how about any other shows, reality shows or anything like that on your radar?
Well, right now I'm in the middle of producing 3 different reality shows, and
oh, wow.
We have them all at different networks, and we will find out if they're going to get greenlit or not. And if not, then onto the drawing board and onto the next show. But one of them is really looking good. We're really close, so I'm hoping that that goes. And that one I'm just producing. I won't be in. But it would be it's going to be a great show. And also starting a horror film in the summer, actually in New York or New Jersey. So I'll be there shooting that. And
nice.
That'll be fun because I love the whole horror film genre.
Yeah, actually, you were at the Chiller Theater, I guess, the last time around,
yes.
I think it was.
Uh-huh, I was there in October.
Yeah, and I didn't come and see you.
Oh, no. Were you there?
I was there, yeah.
You should have came by and said hi.
I know.
Darn it. Well, I'll probably be there again in October.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah, it's always fun, especially the October show. I love it because everybody gets dressed up. It's so much fun.
Yeah, that show
was Freddy Krueger and
right.
Jason and Michael Myers and the whole crew.
Yeah, that show is
it's
grown so tremendously.
Yeah, it's huge now.
Like they're having their other one next month, and the guest list is unbelievable.
It's a great
enormous.
Guest list. Mm-hmm.
Do you do a lot of those shows? Type of shows?
Yeah. I mean, I used to do a lot more, but now I just do a few. But yeah, I definitely love doing Chiller. That one's always fun. Plus, it's just because New York, I just have a lot of my fans are from the East Coast, so
sure.
It works out perfectly.
It just seems like those type of shows are really, over the last couple of years, exploding.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, look at what happened to Comic-Con.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that
exactly.
just... That was crazy. I used to be able to go to the show and actually park in the convention center and get a spot. It was no problem. And now it's like you have to park 2 cities away.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, even the little shows are growing into big shows, and it's just out of control. It's just, wow. Every time we go to one, like I try to go like on the off days now, like to avoid because it's so many people there, you can't even enjoy it because it's just like you're waiting in line for hours for things.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This Chiller in October, there was a lot of that. And actually, Corey was there, Corey Feldman. And
yeah,
people waited in
fact,
line for hours.
Yeah, I waited for Corey for an hour.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. But it's fun, though. It's a fun
thing.
Oh,
yeah. Definitely. It's a lot of fun. I love being able to see the fans and people I've worked with, and it's just a great time.
Yeah, I guess it's, I mean, I used to be a pro wrestler, and I've done wrestling conventions, and it's almost like a reunion, so I guess it's the same for you. Like
exactly.
We were saying, yeah, yep. It's like a family reunion almost.
It is. You see all your old cronies, and you guys, after the show, you go get dinner, have a drink, and, you know, it's just, it's nice. It's yeah, it's like a reunion.
So, I got to ask, going back to the Playboy days, what was Hugh like when you first met Hugh Hefner?
Well, it was very exciting because my mom actually named me after a Playboy model. So all my life I wanted to be in Playboy because you're thinking, well, I got to live up to this name. So, you know, for me it was very exciting to meet him. It was like a dream come true. And same thing going to the mansion for the first time. I just was in such awe looking around me at all the grounds, the beautiful grounds and the animals and the beautiful pool with the waterfalls. It was just very surreal.
Yeah, actually, I was down in California one time. This is 13, 14 years ago, whatever it was. And me and my buddy were out there for a weekend. And we rented a car, and we went to the Playboy Mansion, and we pulled up, and, yeah, they wouldn't let us in. But can you believe that?
Yeah. Yes, because that happened to me, too. I did the same thing before I ever went up and met him. My girlfriend and I drove from Northern California all the way up there, got the star map, and went up to the gate, took pictures in front of the rock,
exactly
the talking rock. Yeah. So I can totally relate. I understand.
That is so funny. Yeah, we got the star map and did exactly that. That is funny.
Yeah. Did you guys rent a convertible too, or?
No, that wasn't. No, we actually ended up getting like a Chevy Cavalier or something lame.
Oh, yeah,
but it had
fun.
To be intimidating, though. I mean, this iconic figure of Hef and the whole Playboy Mansion. I mean,
I wasn't intimidated as much as I was excited.
That's cool. I mean, I was intimidated just pulling up to the driveway.
Not me. I wanted to get in there. I was probably saying into the rock, can I please talk to Hugh Hefner?
Now, how about when you got onto Baywatch?
Mm-hmm. That was the best job ever.
Really?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, come on. I lived in Hawaii, and I hung out on the beach every day, and I went swimming in the ocean, and I got to work with gorgeous men, I mean, and eat whatever I wanted. I mean, it was the best job in the world. Who could ask for a better job than that?
That's funny. Now, how about when you're doing, do they put you, like, through, like, a lifeguard training or anything like that to make it real?
Oh, absolutely. In the audition, there was a swim test as well. So right after the last final screen test, we had to swim and do a swim test. And then once we got to Hawaii, we had Brian, I'm going to not do his name justice, Keolani. He did all of our swim training. I mean, we had to do CPR training. We'd go under the water to the very bottom of these big boulders that would take us down, and we'd walk across the bottom of the ocean holding these boulders. We'd all get underwater and hold our breath underwater and see, you know, and each person would end up popping up to see who could hold their breath the longest. And it was always myself and Jason Momoa would be the two that would stay underwater the longest. And it was just intensive training. I mean, there was all this crazy underwater training and rescuing and CPR. It was pretty intense.
Wow. Yeah, I thought to myself, I'm like, I hope they didn't just like, here's your red, your little red bathing suit, and here's your little red, you know, the life preserver thing they make you guys use. I'm like, I hope they actually like put them through,
no,
through
they,
some type of training.
You have to, because, I mean, they took it very seriously. You had to make it look like you knew what you were doing in a rescue. They didn't want to look like you're just some girl flailing around trying to rescue someone. Plus, I mean, you're in the middle of the ocean. They want to make sure you can take care of yourself and you know how to really swim, and because there's currents and there's all kinds of crazy things that could happen while you're out there shooting. If you fall off the boat into the water, I mean, There's just so many things. They want to make sure that you're a great swimmer.
See,
not like you're in some
pool. For that show. I would have been perfect for that show because I can't swim. So you guys could have saved me.
I know. Why didn't you go on it?
I would have drowned so fast. You guys wouldn't have had a chance to save me.
I could have given you CPR to revive you.
I don't think your husband would like that or my wife, so.
Well, it's acting. We had to do it all the time.
So, as a matter of fact, your husband was a pro football player.
Mm-hmm.
And he played for the Broncos. This past Super Bowl, was he, like, upset?
Yes and no. Like, we were rooting, obviously, for the Broncos. However, we do a pool with squares, and our squares were wanting us to have the Seahawks win, so it worked in our favor. Yeah.
Now, does he like play fantasy football and stuff like that?
No, not fantasy
no.
football. Definitely not. Mm-mm.
Because I always wonder.
No, he does
like,
other types of pools.
Like, can you imagine like football players like playing fantasy football and they're like getting pissed off on the field of somebody, you know what I mean? Somebody's getting a touchdown or something. You're like, yeah, you're screwing up my fantasy team.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like that. I mean, he does other types of pools. He just doesn't do the fantasy. Because with the fantasy, you have to, like, constantly be, I guess, like, changing your team or something like that, right? Yeah. So he prefers, like, knockout pools and things like that.
Gotcha.
But,
That's fine.
That's how he kind of keeps it exciting, I think, and remembering the game and feels like he's still in it.
So, now, what's he do now?
He deals with, like, water property in Colorado, actually. So
okay.
He still goes back and forth there.
Interesting. So, let's see what else I got here. Scanning over my notes.
Well, Bay, I know I can ask. Going back to Baywatch, is there anything that really just stands out? I know there was, you know, an awful lot of guests and actors and people coming through there, but do you have a favorite memory, favorite, you know, time or something like that?
Well, you asked me the question, two things popped in my head.
Okay.
One time when my co-star Scott Plank and I were in the ocean, and it was nighttime, and we were doing like a scene where we ran out in the middle of the ocean. It was like our first kiss. We're doing the scene, and they kind of were like rushing it, and they had all the water safety people kind of around us, and we did the scene, and we come out, and then the water safety guy came up and said, "Well, you were surrounded by sharks."
Oh.
And I'm like, "What?" And so that's why it dawned on me, okay, that's why all the water safety guys were surrounding us. Like, what the heck? But thankfully nothing happened. But stuff like that happened. And they didn't even tell us they wanted to get their shot. So they hurried up and got their shot, and then we got out. So that happened. And then another thing happened, which I always think of fondly, but Alicia Richter, who was one of my co-stars, which now Alicia Piazza, we were on the jet ski, and she's behind me, and I'm in the front, and we're on this very, very serious mission. We're going to rescue somebody. I have a serious face, and the camera's in front of me, and she goes, puts her hands up in front of me, and pulls down my swimsuit, so my boobs just start bouncing, and the camera's on me, and here I was with a serious face, and now I'm, like, half naked. I'm like, you bitch, and I push her off the jet ski. I hope someday they use that as a blooper. Of course, blur things out, but just that whole funny scene of her falling off the jet ski. And then, of course, we had to redo the scene, and I had to try to keep a straight face now in the second take. So we were always doing funny, crazy little tricks like that on each other, little pranks.
How about Starsky and Hutch?
Oh, yeah. awesome experience, being able to work with two of the most great comedians out there, comedic actors, Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, and then the director, Todd Phillips, who's amazing. It was an awesome experience, and it was great. I mean, practically the whole scene that you see was improv. Most of that scene was not even what was on the script. And they didn't even tell me they were going to improv. They just started improvising, and I got to improv with two of the best. And it was just a great experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was totally cool.
Now, which would you prefer doing more of? Would you prefer doing more of a reality show at this point in time or actual acting?
I guess it depends on the reality show, but I would rather do acting, scripted acting. But, you know, usually when I was acting for so long and the opportunity came up for The Surreal Life, it was the very first ever celebrity reality show out there. And I was putting off reality shows for so long because I thought it was just like a phase. And finally, I was just like, okay, it's not going away. If you can't beat them, join them. So finally I did it. And now, obviously, you can't get away from it. Reality shows are easier in the sense that you're just yourself, so you don't have to worry about anything, whereas acting, you have to really get, you know, you have to memorize your lines, you have to get into character. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's also more fulfilling. So.
Now, how about like a Dancing with the Stars? Have you ever been approached by something like that?
I would love to do Dancing with the Stars. Unfortunately, they don't take anybody that would be going from the Celebrity Apprentice. You have to have done another show after the Celebrity Apprentice that they can promote, because they don't want to promote. They will, if you notice, they've never ever promoted anyone that's been on the Apprentice as they've been on the Apprentice, because it's in competition with them. So, for instance, I would have to be on the Housewives of San Diego, let's say, so that they can say Brandy from the Housewives of San Diego. They don't want to say Brandy from Celebrity Apprentice.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's unfortunate, because there's a lot of people that have been wanting to do that show and they can't if they've been on the Celebrity Apprentice.
Huh.
Wow. Hey, Bay, so I'm sitting here and I'm trying to, like, I'm running down Baywatch Hawaii in my head and I'm trying to remember, you know, different characters and stuff. And it just occurred to me that you have a Game of Thrones connection.
I do?
You do, right? Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah. What, is he on that show?
He was one of the big stars of the first season, absolutely.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, he's doing awesome. He has definitely taken his acting career to the next level. He definitely, once he did Conan, the Barbarian, he just took off.
His new series, The Red Road, is amazing.
That's the new one, right? It's kind of, is it an indie type show?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
It's on Sundance, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was really great. My husband started watching the beginning of it, and I saw him. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And his wife's on there, too, I think, right?
She is, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, he's doing great.
Gosh, it's crazy. Me and Bay talk about this all the time, how sort of just interconnected everybody is, and especially those shows. There are just so many actors, when you count in guest stars and everything like that, went through,
mm-hmm.
you know, Baywatch and Baywatch Hawaii and Baywatch Nights, just
many
people.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
That's going to be kind of cool, though, when you look at that and just see how everything spiderwebs out and how everybody connects.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have so many connections with everybody. You ask me about anybody, and I definitely can, I probably will have met him, worked with him, or, I mean, at least one degree of separation, for sure.
Which
been
I guess
that came, a long time.
That comes in handy when you were doing, like, Celebrity Apprentice, because that's basically what they make you do, is you're going through
mm-hmm.
your Rolodex of a phone and call,
exactly.
call, call. And, yeah.
Yep. So true.
That's crazy. Well, anything else you want to promote, plug?
No, I mean, just, you know, if you can try, I'm updating my website, but you can still go on my website if you ever want to find out where I'm going to be, what's coming up next. It's just myname.com, brandyroderick.com. And if you, you know, want to look up the water, it's alkaline88.com if you want to try to find the alkaline water, as well as our shoes are pdoitalia.com. They're called Pantofola d'Oro, which is golden slipper in Italian.
Nice. Look at
yeah.
that. I'm Italian. I didn't even have any idea what that meant.
What? How could you not know that? Well,
people say that to me all the time. They're like,
me.
You don't. Oh, thanks for coming on finally. And before I let you go, can I get you to cut a quick ID too?
Sure.
Whatever you want to say. This is Brandy Roderick, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Okay. Hi, guys. This is Brandy Roderick, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Thank you. That was
you're
awesome.
Welcome.
Thanks so much, Brandy.
Thank you.
And,
I'm glad we finally made it work.
Yeah, me too. And hopefully, you know, I'll see you at Chiller sometime.
I know. Definitely. You better come say hi this time.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you later.
Yep. Take care.
You
okay,
too.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There she goes. The one and only Miss Brandy Roderick. We've now had a Playmate of the Year on the show. A Baywatch
Absolutely.
Babe.
Baywatch
and
babe.
A Celebrity Apprentice. And you know, the thing is, after all that, which you got to think, like, people probably think, all right, she was on Baywatch. She was a Playmate. She's probably not that smart. But then she's on Celebrity Apprentice, and she proves that she is smart. And then she's like a successful businesswoman, which, again, double proves that she's smart. So, you know,
right.
kudos to her. Good for Brandy. Brandy's totally driven.
She is.
Wow.
Oh, man, that's funny. Hey, so quick question. When we were talking about Jason Momoa, do you know who that is?
You know what? I had no idea who it was until I think she said Conan, and then I kind of like got a picture in my head of who the guy was. But otherwise, I had no idea.
You know, his wife is Lisa Bonet.
Really?
You know, the Cosby's. Yeah.
How'd that happen?
I mean, I'll ask him next time I see him.
Yeah, you know. Find out. Say, you know. Wow.
Yeah. They've been married actually since like 2007.
Really? That's like a weird combo.
It is.
Is she still like all weird and dreadlocked and all that stuff?
Yeah, she's in the show and she's even like that on the show. Yeah, absolutely. And she has, like they have like two or three kids together too, and they have like weird... like tribal names like Lola Lolani or something like that.
Well, and
yeah.
she has the daughter with Lenny Kravitz, and that daughter's name was Zoe? Because
yeah.
I think it was Zoe.
Yeah. She's an actress as well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Yeah, because Lenny did a song for her. Flowers for Zoe, I think it was called.
She is actually, I'm trying to think, she was in No Reservations, I remember that. She's in the new X-Men movie, the X-Men First Class. She was on Californication with, the guy from the X-Files, David Duchovny, After Earth with Will Smith, and... I think I heard that she's in this new Divergent, the one that's supposed to be like a really big, you know, franchise.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's actually kind of, you know, holding her own in the acting world.
Interesting. Very interesting. How about her? Good for her. All right, let's... where are we at here? All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And then we'll come back and we'll wrap up. We'll preview the TV Nation and wrap up the show.
Okay, cool.
We'll be back in a few.
This is Eric Roberts, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Bay Ragney of Chili Driven Radio and Entertainment for Vidi and Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Are you looking to buy a new car or replace your current vehicle? Or are you looking for a dealership that's just going to give you the exceptional service you deserve? You've come to the right place. Vidian. That's right. Vidian has been serving the Delaware Valley with new and used Chrysler, Jeeps, and Dodge cars since 1954. That's 60 years of service. With such customers as Philadelphia Eagles Jason Kelce, Sixers coach Brett Brown, plus former Eagle and the Jeep genie himself, Hollis Thomas. Vidian's also partnered and provides the official vehicles for the Cole Hamels Foundation. Not only all that, but I myself, Bay Ragney, am a customer as well. I just purchased last week a 2014 Dodge Charger RT from Vidian. Vidian also works very close with all the first responders, police, fire, EMT, and all branches of the military. Vidian has a huge selection of new inventory and close to 100 pre-owned vehicles in stock to choose from. Vidian is totally driven to earn your business and give you the best deals on your car purchase. So go to Vidian.com to see their inventory or any information on all the sales they offer. Plus, you can just stop into their showroom at 4951 Westchester Pike in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Remember, if you want to get driven and stay driven, do it with Vidian.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California man is accused of assaulting a woman while wearing a pink Barbie costume.
Of course.
The victim was using the restroom when the suspect entered her stall dressed like Barbie. I was looking and I saw 2 feet slowly planted on the floor, and they were a man's bare feet. She noted that the suspect was wearing a Barbie outfit. Luckily, the victim fought back and managed to escape. Schwartz ran out soon after, and when a security guard tried to confront him, Schwartz allegedly threatened to stab him with a screwdriver.
That's very Barbie-like of him.
Yeah.
You know, they always have a Barbie for, like, every single job.
Yeah, there you go. Criminal assault Barbie.
Barbie. Criminal assault Barbie.
In a criminal world, solving people in the bathroom.
I have a screwdriver. I'm gonna stab you in the eye.
Get out of my way. Need to make an escape.
Come on, Barbie. Let's do crime. This is criminal assault Barbie.
Yeah,
she comes with a removable screwdriver, but no shoes apparently.
No.
Doesn't know how to accessorize, I guess.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Corey Feldman, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Totally Driven Radio, and I'm pissed.
What? About what I just sent you?
No, I just saw I had a tweet from Henry saying, ask Brandy, Evil or Elvis?
Oh,
I wish
funny,
I saw
dude.
It earlier. That's funny.
Oh, man, that's – hey, I know we're not talking about this guy forever from, you know, Conan, but I just wanted to ask you, do you notice that he has, you know, scars on his face? And that's because at a bar in Hollywood, some dude, like, attacked him, and he had, like, 200 stitches put in his face because of it. He shattered a beer glass over his head.
What?
I just have lots of trivia, so I wanted to share that with you. But, yeah, absolutely.
All righty.
Pretty crazy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's absurd. Wow. So, Sunday, TV Nation.
Lots of stuff to talk about, man. Lots of stuff. This Sunday we're going to talk, you know, you're going to give us a top five list, right?
Oh, crap.
Yeah, see, you forgot.
I totally forgot. What was the top five list I got to do?
Car chases.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. I think Jimmy's giving us top 10, I think it's female comic, like, costumes or something like that, so yeah.
All right, dude, you actually...
we're going to talk about, you know, all the shows that we normally watch.
I'm going to ask you, please, to email me. Just email top five car chases in a subject line. Because
okay.
I go through my email, it's like a checklist for me. So this way it'll remind me. It'll get
okay,
lost
cool.
in a message. It'll get lost. As a matter of fact, like we're talking business on the air. You sent me the winner, the winner for the bear. As a matter of fact, email me that address as well so I can send that out. And, you know, I think we should give away a bear next week.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, next week we're going to give away a teddy scare. We haven't given one away yet.
Should we give it away to somebody that posts, or should we make them call in?
You know what? I want to try to make people call in.
We haven't tried that yet.
Let's try something different. Like we've always done, you know, either Facebook or Twitter. Let's have somebody actually pick up a phone instead of pushing buttons to tweet or text or post.
Yes, you might be forced to interact with people.
Yeah, like human beings vocalizing back and forth to one another. How about that? Let's try that next week. So there you go. Next week we're going to give away a teddy scare. You might want to email me that as well.
That's pretty funny.
Sunday night, TV Nation, 9 o'clock Eastern. And what else we got going on? There's so much. My head spins anymore.
Yeah, man. And actually on, I think it's Tuesday morning, I'm going to be taping an interview with the Stro from, you know, WCW and indie wrestling. And actually he was on two episodes of One Tree Hill, which is like my favorite teen angst show of all time. So we're definitely going to get into sort of that and what, you know, that process was like. I want to try and talk about, you know, some of the behind-the-scenes stuff when it comes to, you know, really working in TV and stuff.
So when you booked him for the interview, does he assume it's going to be mostly, like, about wrestling?
I'm very specific when I approach them about the interviews with what I want to talk about. So there's... you know, very little confusion as to, you know, what we're going to talk about and what's off limits and stuff like that.
Right.
So,
I'm not going to go there.
The truth is, in other words, if he didn't want to talk about One Tree Hill, we wouldn't be having the interview.
Right.
Okay, but fortunately, I've also watched WCW and I was a fan and, you know, so it all works out. And I'm sure he's got, you know, new projects to plug and stuff as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's do a quick scan of Twitter. Oh, wait. Top story on TMZ. Hulk Hogan, my stolen boot has been returned.
What?
I don't know.
What?
But we have a few minutes to kill. Let's see what's trending on Twitter. March Madness, Thursday, so you know what that means. Scandal.
Scandal, that's right.
So here you go.
I'm
going to tweet out that.
Let's see. I got Huck, Quinn, Scandal. All three of them are Scandal, right?
It's no Scandal. Totally Driven Radio is now live. But it's March Madness.
That's funny.
How about that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we have March Madness and Scandal. Dayton, is that somebody on Scandal or is that a college team?
I assume it's a Scandal, yeah.
I don't know. North Dakota State, UConn. How about Daddy Pope? That's Scandal, isn't it?
Yes.
Jordair Jet.
That's got to be that jet, right, that's missing? I don't know.
Yeah, what was the – speaking of the missing jet, what was the whole thing with Courtney Love? Like, I saw you posted something out. I thought you were making a joke. And then I saw, like, for 2 days, it was trending that Courtney Love knew where the missing jet was. And I was scared to open it.
Yeah, man, she put up this picture that was, like – it had, like, two spots – it was, like, of the ocean, and it had, like, two crayon circles that said, you know, just pointing to, like – what basically looked like ocean. There was nothing on it. There was no shadows. There was nothing. And she was just like, this is where it went down. I can tell. Yeah. So, yeah, dude.
Wow.
Geez. Yeah. The only thing higher than that plane was Courtney Love.
I. She is, like, top of the food chain for one of the people I want to get on this show.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
I would love to get her on this show. She never answers my tweets, though.
That's because she's busy. She's investigating, you know, airline crashes and stuff like that.
Well, actually, she has a she's doing her own show on YouTube now. Courtney TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's. She's put up, like, 4 or 5 episodes, and I haven't watched none of them yet. But I am hoping to do one real soon.
That's really funny. Now, is it just, like, train wreck YouTube TV?
It's got to be. It's got to be. You know, I'm going to have to watch. I'll watch, and I'll report on TV Nation this weekend.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah. We're going to have a lot to talk about this week, buddy, because there's, I mean, a lot more stuff came back. I think there was, I know of at least one premiere this week. That was the 100 that was last night. So I'm interesting, man. And I'm watching a reality series this weekend, and I'm going to report about it on Sunday as well. And the reality series is called Chasing Maria Menounos. And the reason I'm watching it is, one, because she was on One Tree Hill, and two, because it sounds like a hobby I really enjoy.
You know what? She's another one. Do you know, like, I mean, she's, like, another one who's, like, really smart. Not, and a businesswoman, and she's got, like, a whole, like, TV thing going, like a whole channel and internet channel and all that stuff going.
Yeah, and she's surprisingly, you know, she's not really bad at pretty much everything that I've seen her do, and I was actually, I didn't know she was, like, trained or partially trained as a professional wrestler as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's why she's like a huge wrestling mark. So, she's another one.
From, like, Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I had no idea from, yeah.
So,
that's pretty crazy.
She's another one we have to work on getting on. So, all right, well, we're down to the 1 minute mark. So, I want to thank Brandi Roderick, Henry the Pitbull Rife, and Jason Herbie for all calling in tonight, being guests and being totally driven. We are your kings of entertainment. My name is Bay Ragney. That's Nick Wilkinson. Go to totallydriven.tv for all the info on Totally Driven. Follow us on Twitter. Look for us on Facebook. We're closing in on 1,000 likes. Come on, let's get there. I want to be there by April 1st. We're like 40 away or something. So let's do it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Until Sunday night, and then we have a benefit preview show Monday night. We have Fork Off with Chrissy Monday. Tuesday, the Man Cave Quarterback. Wednesday, the Broadcast, the Crispy Noodle. And then we return next week. And who's our guest next week? Oh, I lost my page. And I forget. And we
if you have to ask yourself, it's a bad deal.
It's all blending together, but we have a jam-packed show. At one point, we have five guests booked for next week, and I had to move stuff around. So,
nice.
But we're down to 3, so we're good. Until next week, until Sunday, stay driven.